Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot coming up for you today. We are broadcasting live from the March for Life.
It is amazing to be here. It's really an honor to be here. We're going to do something we've never done before on the Ben Shapiro Show. We're doing a full-on themed hour of the Ben Shapiro Show. We're doing nothing but debunking pro-choice arguments all hour long. And also, we have a special guest who's going to be calling in a little bit later to say hello to everyone who is here. So, let's just jump right in because there are a lot of pro-choice arguments to debunk. So, let's begin with this. We now live in a country that is still debating over whether abortion is a moral good or a moral evil. You know, President Obama, back on the 41st anniversary of the debacle, the evil decision known as Roe versus Wade, he said, quote, "Tonight, as we reflect on the 41st anniversary of the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade, we recommit ourselves to the decision's guiding principle that every woman should be able to make her own choices about her body and her health. This is a country where everyone deserves the same freedom and opportunities to fulfill their dreams. And Roe versus Wade is a grand and glorious thing because now women have the ability to fulfill their dreams by killing babies," which is an odd position. I mean, the position that you actually are only able to engage fully in freedom if you have the ability to snuff out an unborn life is a weird position. But this was not unusual for President Obama. You recall that a few years back, President Obama spoke before the nasty, terrible organization known as Planned Parenthood. And at the very end of his speech, as you'll recall, President Obama actually said that God should bless Planned Parenthood. Here's what that sounded like.
"As long as we've got to fight to make sure women have access to quality, affordable health care, and as long as we've got to fight to protect a woman's right to make her own choices about her own health, I want you to know that you've also got a president who's going to be right there with you, fighting every step of the way."
And we've gotten a lot of flack. I know the March for Life has gotten a lot of flack for allowing me to broadcast from the stage because I'm a political partisan, because I don't hide the fact that I'm conservative. But the fact is that the pro-life issue does not have to be a partisan issue. The only reason that there are so many folks who believe that it has to be a partisan issue is because, unfortunately, one party in this country has decided to embrace the full-on abortion till point of birth position. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just one second, but first, I need to take a second to remind you, there's a whole other world to this radio show at dailywire.com. You ever miss an opportunity to listen to the Ben Shapiro Show? Well, don't let it happen again. Head over to dailywire.com. You can watch all 3 hours of my radio show when you become a subscriber. Your life will be vastly enriched by the ability to see every detail on the show, from relevant news clips and photos to this astonishingly handsome face. Not only do you get my show, you'll be able to hear from prominent conservatives like Andrew Klavan and Matt Walsh. Even get Michael Knowles, if that's a thing that you're interested in. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement, and they'll keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. Don't wait any longer. Head over to dailywire.com, become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month or $99 a year. Be sure also to check out the new Daily Wire store at Amazon.com. Stock up on official Daily Wire hoodies, t-shirts, sweaters, and more. That's dailywire.com. Become a subscriber. Join tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in America. Plus, you get so much more to the radio show. You get to see things. You get to be part of the mailbag. What are you waiting for? Go to dailywire.com right now. Go check out our Daily Wire merch store at Amazon.com. It's dailywire.com. All right, so now, back to the issue at hand. There's a piece in the Washington Post suggesting that it was very bad that I was going to be here today because it makes the issue partisan. It is not my fault or your fault or the fault of the unborn that President Obama chose to take the position that he chose. That is his fault. Okay, and it's not anybody else's fault when people in one party decide overwhelmingly to excise pro-life voices from their midst. I know that there is a couple of Democrats, at least one Democrat, is going to be speaking at the march today, which is fantastic. I wish all Democrats were here at the march today. But there has been a shift inside the far left and increasingly the main left, mainstream left version of what abortion should be about. So if you go all the way back to the early 90s, the position of the Democratic Party, which is still quote-unquote pro-choice, which is, of course, a euphemism, the original position was safe, legal, and rare. Right? You recall, Hillary Clinton said this back when she was First Lady of the United States. The way she articulated abortion was safe, legal, and rare. Here's what that sounded like.
We can support a woman's right to choose that makes abortion safe, legal, and rare, and reduces the number of abortions.
Okay, well, that happens to not be the position of the Democratic Party today. First of all, that was never logically tenable, right? If you want something to be safe and legal, then your suggestion is that there really isn't anything morally wrong with the act that's taking place. If abortion is not morally wrong, then why should it be rare? So if you want it to be safe and legal, then why exactly should it be rare? Obviously, once you say it should be rare, you're acknowledging that there is a moral wrong that is being done at some level. And therefore, the case for it being legal is actually a lot weaker, particularly when what you're talking about is not some sort of consensual behavior. You're talking about the taking of an unborn life. But the new position of the Democratic Party increasingly, and at least a lot of folks on the mainstream left, is not even safe, legal, and rare. They've moved beyond that. Now we are in the shout your abortion era. You have folks like Lena Dunham, who, I'll just leave it there. She says, literally, she said this in the last couple of years, she said that she wished she'd had an abortion. This is what it sounded like.
Now I can say that I still haven't had an abortion, but I wish I had.
I mean, that's an amazing statement. It has become a rite of passage for people, a way of showing, of signaling to people that you are a good women's rights advocate to suggest that you wish you had an abortion. I mean, imagine the moral evil that it takes to be able to say that you wished that you had conceived a child just to kill that baby in your womb so that then you could brag to all of your friends about what a good feminist you were. It's an amazing, incredible, disgusting thing. Okay, so this position has changed radically. Now, I don't want to take on the kind of straw man position that Democrats are all the most radical people on earth. I want to take on the most mainstream arguments that are made against the pro-life position. And we're going to go through these one by one. There are basically 10 of these pro-choice arguments. And all of them are meritless. All of them are meritless. We're going to go through them, and then I hope by the end of the show that folks are going to be equipped to speak more honestly and truthfully about how these issues work. So, argument number one is that this isn't a human being, right? It's not a human life. This is the argument that was put out by the editor of some publication called Romper, which I'd never heard of. But earlier this week, this tweet was put up in which, we can show the tweet, in which this Romper editor suggested, "Dear SCOTUS, Supreme Court, fetal tissue is not a person, 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 but I am, and I matter more than fetal tissue. Signed, people who have miscarriages and abortions." So there are many, many logical problems with this position. Number one, to lump in people who have miscarriages with people who have abortions is in and of itself disgusting. Okay, there are many, many women who want their babies who had miscarriages. The idea that they didn't consider their own children because they had a miscarriage because it was just fetal tissue is just absolute garbage. It is absolute nonsense. This also happens to be ascientific. Now, if she had said that fetal stem cells are not the same as adult stem cells, of course, that's true. But that's not what she's saying. She's saying fetal tissue, meaning the tissue of a fetus, is not a person. Okay, well, by that standard, human flesh is not a person. It's true. A person, being a person, requires more than you just being a bag of flesh, right? You have to be alive, right? You have to be living. But there is no distinction whatsoever between the flesh of a baby 1 minute before it enters the vaginal canal and 1 minute after it exits the vaginal canal. The vaginal canal does not magically confer personhood. It's just sheer nonsense. And it's even more nonsensical when folks suggest that basically it's just a cluster of meaningless cells from the very beginning. Now, today's theme of the March for Life is that it is a march for science, right? Is that science is what matters. And this is why it's amazing. You see, the media will cover this march. There's a bunch of religious bigots out there trying to end women's rights. That's how if they cover it at all, right? There'll be hundreds of thousands of people who show up today, and there'll be like 9,000 people who show up tomorrow at the women's march. And they'll cover the women's march endlessly, and they will probably ignore, for the most part, the March for Life. But if they do cover it, they will fail to acknowledge that the actual rationale for the pro-life position is not religious in nature. We'll talk about religion a bit. It's not really religious in nature. The actual pro-life position is based on the sheer unadulterated science of human life. So let's go through that science for a second. So let's begin with week one, right? Week one of pregnancy, this, or at least this is at conception, right? We have some graphics that we can put up here. If you take a look at what fertilization looks like, at the start of the week, ovulation happens, the egg is fertilized, and at that point, human life begins. There's no question that a human life has now begun. If you were to find this on another planet, it would be considered a life, right? You would say life found on Mars. If you found this organism on another planet, it would be a life. This is a human life. Now, the question is whether it is a baby is an irrelevant one, because the bottom line is that this will become a full-grown human being if left unimpeded in the natural course of things. This has an independent DNA, okay? This is going to have an independent human existence. So you don't have to say that this is a baby. It's not a baby, obviously. It doesn't have to be a baby. It doesn't look like a baby, but it is a human life, and that's what matters. Okay, and then, very quickly, there's implantation, that takes place. And then, by 4 weeks, by the time most women recognize that they are even pregnant, the ball of cells that is supposedly not human life is now an embryo. Okay, this is by this point, it's now an embryo. And by 5 weeks, the baby is already beginning its own to form its own circulatory system. The tiny heart already begins to beat at about week five. By week six, right, we are now talking 1 month of a woman knowing she's pregnant. By week six, the nose, mouth, and ears are starting to take shape. The intestines and brains are beginning to develop. Okay, by week seven, the baby has doubled in size since the last week. Little hands and feet are beginning to emerge. By 8 weeks, breathing tubes are extending from the throat to the developing lungs. Nerve cells are branching out, forming those primitive neural pathways. Right, this is when people start to make the arguments about whether babies can feel pain or not. At 9 weeks, the baby's basic physiology is in place. The baby continues to gain weight. By week 10, the skin is translucent, but tiny limbs can bend. Details like fingernails are beginning to form. You can tell the sex of the baby at this point. Right? This is when most women go into the doctor, and the doctor does the ultrasound, and then you can tell whether the baby is a boy or a girl. Okay, all of this is happening within the first 2.5 months of pregnancy. Okay, all of this is happening within the first trimester. And yet the Democratic Party platform position is that this is not a full-grown, it doesn't matter at all. Right? There's no moral component of aborting anything, anywhere in here. And all the way up to birth, there is no moral component. That's an incredible science-free argument. And yet that is the argument that's made. We are called the science deniers if we dare to mention things like biology, basic fetal biology. You know who actually acknowledged that that abortion was taking human life was actually the founder of Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger said abortion was the wrong way. No matter how early it was performed, it was taking life. It was only later that Planned Parenthood became not a contraceptive center, but an abortion center.
I want to talk a little bit more about this. But first, I need to remind you, your life is about to get better. You can now watch all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show commercial-free on demand. How, you ask? Well, all you have to do is go to dailywire.com, click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire premium subscribers are the only people who can watch all 3 hours every day, no commercials. That is correct, zero commercials. A Daily Wire subscription, it includes not only all 3 hours of this show commercial-free, you can ask me questions through the mailbag. You can watch live recorded episodes of The Andrew Klavan Show, Michael Moles' Show, Matt Walsh's Show, much more. Plus, as part of a limited-time offer, the exclusive Leftist Tears tumbler, so you can drink your Leftist Tears hot or cold. It's amazing. For just $99 a year for that annual subscription. Are you tired of just listening to this beautiful voice? And are you ready to see this amazing face? Want to watch or listen to the show at your desk while pretending to do work? Well, go to dailywire.com, click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. It's the only way to get all 3 hours of The Ben Shapiro Show on demand, commercial-free. There is no other way. So go to dailywire.com right now, click on that subscribe button at the top of the page. Plus, dailywire.com has all sorts of great resources, information. Go check it out, dailywire.com.
Alrighty, so the second argument, with regard to the pro-choice position, is that this baby can't survive on its own, right? We should be able to abort it because, after all, it's hooked up to another human. And because it's hooked up to another human, viability is the real test. I have a 2.5-year-old son right now. He cannot survive on his own, legitimately. Like, if my wife and I were to abandon him in the house, he would stick a fork into an electric socket within minutes. The viability argument makes no sense. It doesn't even make sense when you're talking about many older Americans who require constant care in places like assisted living facilities. So the viability argument that if you are dependent on another human being to help you live, you are therefore not a human life, obviously doesn't hold.
Coming up, debunking more of the most common pro-choice arguments. We'll be right back. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
This is the Savage Nation.
I am waiting for Da Vinci to appear. I haven't seen one yet. All I see are lies and propaganda about the fact that they're delivering so many goods to this country in terms of culture. So far as I can tell, they're not delivering much in the way of culture. Our borders are being destroyed, our language is being destroyed, and our culture is being destroyed. No, not all immigrants are equal. Pardon me.
The Savage Nation from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're here at the March for Life, and we're debunking the most common pro-choice arguments. Okay, argument number three is that it's responsible to abort. Okay, this is the argument that women are making a responsible decision when they take the life of an unborn child. Because the child will probably be miserable anyway. The kid will probably be upset day to day, might be depressed, might be obese. For example, I don't know if you've seen this video. There's this woman who's been trying to go around training small children to be pro-choice. She's this woman who works for Shout Your Abortion. And she explains to a kid that she had an abortion because she just wasn't ready for a child, as though this is some sort of moral stamp of approval. Here's what she had to say.
Why did you have an abortion?
A few years ago, I got pregnant, and I really didn't want to have a baby.
May I ask what happened? Did he not wear a condom? Did the condom break? Was it pre-ejaculation?
Such good questions, Vanessa. Thank you. He wasn't wearing a condom.
Why wasn't he wearing a condom?
Have you ever had two options and one of them, like, seems easier at the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, you could take a shortcut. Like, yeah. You could go the long way
around. It was the shortcut version.
Oh, so it's inconvenient. And then it was inconvenient to raise the child. See, it turns out that it's actually very difficult to raise a child. It's time-consuming. It's difficult because it's also the most important thing you do in life. And I know that it has become unpopular to suggest that the most important thing that you are going to do in your life is raise your own children, that you're going to bring a child into the world and then raise that child to be a good human being. But that happens to be the truth. There is nothing moral about the idea that you think you're going to be a bad parent so you get to kill the child. And it's an insane argument. Right? And by the way, again, an argument that holds true after birth. What happens if you discover by age 4 that you're actually a terrible parent? Do you now get to go and drown your kid in a river somewhere?
That's not the way this works. Your failures as a parent do not allow you to kill another human being. Okay, argument number four is that it makes life better for women. Abortion makes life better for women. And this is the argument that you heard Barack Obama express a little bit earlier. This argument that women's freedom is necessitates the killing of the unborn. There's an article over at The Guardian by a woman named Hadley Freeman, came out last June, in which she talked specifically about how the title of the piece is, "An Abortion at the Age of 23 Gave Me Freedom." And she talks about how when she was 23, her life forked, because until then it had felt like one of those L.A. freeways with half a dozen lanes. I had options in terms of which path I took, but they were all going in the same general direction. I was barely making a living in a job I enjoyed, living in a dump with friends I adored. Life was wide open. Then one day, I took a pregnancy test. And she says that she had an abortion. She says, "I absolutely could have had that baby. I would have had to give up my job and move back in with my parents. My relationship would eventually end it, and it would have taken years for me to be able to support myself and my baby. But sure, I could have done it." But she's happy she didn't, because now she gets to work the job that she wants, and she doesn't have to live with her parents. Yeah, you know who didn't get to live? Someone else. Right? This is a dismissive view of the amazing gift of childbearing and childrearing to begin with. I mean, the idea that human freedom, that female freedom, is based not in raising the child, but in going working 2,200 hours at a law firm, is just, it's ridiculous. And I speak as a person whose mother was a working woman. My wife, as everyone knows, is a doctor. Right, I'm very much in favor of women in the workplace, but if you give my wife the choice between what's more important to her, raising our two kids, or working as a doctor, which is a pretty important job, she would make that choice in a heartbeat. That's not a difficult decision. What we have done as a society by devaluing mothering in favor of work is we have suggested that freedom itself is tied into work and not into mothering, and that is just not true. It is just a lie. And if your freedom comes at the expense of the life of another human being, then it's not really your freedom that is the top priority. Okay, argument number five is the argument that because rape and incest are really bad, therefore abortion is okay, not only in those cases, but in all cases. Now, this is a real red herring that you see thrown out by the pro-choice movement on a fairly routine basis. You're going to be arguing abortion, you're going to be arguing the pro-life position. They say, well, what about rape and incest, where we have lots of sympathy for the woman because she's just undergone something absolutely horrific? First of all, the first thing that you should say in response to this argument is, okay, we can discuss those issues, and I'm happy to talk about those, which I will in one second. But first, are you willing to acknowledge that all the other abortions are wrong? Because they're not, right? This is what they're doing, is they're using an exception in order to destroy the rule. They're basically saying that because we have moral qualms, some people, about rape and incest, therefore a voluntary abortion for no reason having to do with rape and incest is totally okay. All the folks who consistently mention rape and incest, this is not the good faith argument that happens between people who are pro-life on these issues. Most of the people who mention rape and incest are instead much more interested in abortion across the board. The truth is that only a tiny percentage of abortions spring from rape and incest. As early as 1987, the Alan Guttmacher Institute asked women about their reasons for abortion. Only 1% of the 1,900 women surveyed suggested rape or abortion. 95% of those who mentioned rape or incest actually named other reasons as well for deciding to abort. It wasn't just rape or incest, it was other reasons, economic reasons. So it wasn't just pure rape and incest. In other words, it is a minute fraction of abortions that we are talking about. And when people cite those abortions as an excuse for all the other abortions, that is intellectually dishonest in a massive way. PolitiFact, right, which is a left-wing source, said that there may have been about 7,000 pregnancies from rape in 2010 in the United States total. Total. Out of the hundreds of thousands and millions of pregnancies that take place in the United States every year. And this is supposed to be the rationale for ensuring that people can have abortions on demand. Each year, there are about 1 million abortions in the United States. Okay? 1 million. And they are saying that 7,000 pregnancies resulting in rape, we don't know how many of those actually end in abortion. Let's say it's half. Okay, so you got 3,500 abortions. What percentage of 1 million is that? Not a high percentage. And yet that is used as an excuse by the left for we can have no legislation on abortion whatsoever. Now, as to the actual morality of abortion in the cases of rape and incest, as I have said 1 million times, there is no one in the United States who is in favor of rape and incest. Okay, if a man rapes a woman, he should be castrated or killed. If a man commits incest with his daughter or his sister, he should be castrated or killed. Okay, these are crimes against human beings. These are evil crimes against human beings. But one evil crime against a human being does not necessitate the morality of committing a crime against another human being. We can all be sympathetic and still recognize that it is an illogical argument that the baby should pay the price for the crime.
Laura Ingraham, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station. KCNR rolls into 2019 with great changes to our programming. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, it's the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, 1460 a.m. and soon on 96.5 FM. Now, more than ever, we are your locally owned, community-connected radio station.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 a.m. with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, live from the March for Life, where we're debunking the most common pro-choice arguments.
Okay, so, argument number six that the pro-choice movement makes is that it is their body. And so you see all of these marches where people are chanting things like, my body, my choice. You see these big rallies, people chanting this. There was a big rally in Los Angeles last year in which people were shouting, my body, my choice, and then women were shouting, my body, my choice. Men were shouting back at them, your body, your choice. Here's what that sounded like. A couple of problems with this particular argument. Okay, problem with this argument, number one, is that obviously it is not your body that we are talking about. When women say, why are you so concerned about what goes on in my body? My answer is I'm never concerned about what goes on in your esophagus. I don't care about what goes on in your kidneys. I'm not interested in your circulatory system. I'm interested in protecting the living human being that is inside you right now. That is the thing that I care about. Then there is the kind of more complex argument that's made by sort of the libertarian contingent of the pro-choice crowd, the bodily autonomy argument. So this is the argument that you've all heard, the famous violinist in a coma argument, right? This is the argument where they say, you wake up in a room, and there is somebody who is hooked up to you via an IV, right? Just a random person. And the person is a famous violinist. And if you disconnect that IV, the person dies. Do you have an obligation to keep that IV connected between you and the person who is in the coma? Well, this is not a good argument for abortion for a variety of reasons, which I'm about to go into in a second. First of all, if it turns out that the violinist in the coma, we know, will come out of the coma within 9 months and go back to being a normal, full-fledged human being, it's a kind of dicey proposition to say that you should be able to just pull the plug on the guy, right? Because you know that the person's going to be a full-fledged human being. When you're talking about an unborn human baby, I mean, now, a baby born at 7 months is much more likely to live than to die. So what you're talking about is a time delay in terms of when this person is going to no longer be connected to you. So that is point number one. Point number two, unless you were a victim of rape or incest, you're complicit in the creation of a child, right? The entire basis of the famous violinist example is that this person is unrelated to you. You had no choice about whether this person was hooked into your veins. Well, if you had consensual sex with someone and got pregnant, you are responsible for the act that led to that person being inside you. Pregnancy is a pretty foreseeable risk of consensual sex and was for all of human history, regardless of whether you used birth control. People who refuse to connect sex with the risk of pregnancy are either lying or they're stupid. You wouldn't have an obligation to keep another human being tied into your body if you were knocked out, but if you tied the person into your body yourself, you probably would, right? If you hooked the violinist into your veins and made him dependent on you, you'd probably now have an obligation not to remove the IV. And then there's another problem. And this applies even in the cases of rape and incest, where voluntarism is not really the issue, where it was forced upon you, right? That you didn't consent to the bodily connection. And that is that abortion is not just pulling a plug. And this is the part that nobody wants to talk about. We speak about abortion in euphemisms all the time. Abortion itself is a euphemism. Abortion is a word that people think is antiseptic. It doesn't do anything to the baby. It's the same thing as pulling a plug. It is not the same thing as pulling a plug. If I change the violinist example, so the question is not, he's hooked into you with a line, you just have to pull the line. But now you have an axe in the room, and the only way of disconnecting this guy from you is to chop him in the face with the axe. That changes the math a little bit. Abortion is a violent act. It is not merely the disconnection of you from the baby and then the baby dying on its own terms. That is not what we are talking about here. What we are talking about, the process of abortion involves the dismemberment of an incipient human life. That's what it is. Okay. Finally, your child, regardless of how it came into you, is your child. The reason people like to use the famous violinist example is because the violinist is unrelated to you. They're a stranger. Even if, God forbid, something happened to you that resulted in a pregnancy not of your choosing, that is still your child. If I said to you that your child were forcibly hooked into you and you didn't have anything to do with it, right? If I said that if you had a child you didn't know about and that child was forcibly hooked into you, wouldn't you have more of a moral obligation to that person than to a stranger? You probably would. Okay, argument number seven that the pro-choice movement uses is that it's all about safety for the mother. That safety for the mother is the key thing. This, of course, is utterly untrue, and there's no science to back this whatsoever. First, they argue that abortion is safer for mothers than pregnancy because the process of pregnancy is likely to lead to more complications and health problems than abortion would. But that's true of a lot of things in life, right? It's safer for women never to have to leave their homes, but we don't grant women the right to engage in identity theft in order so they can steal someone's credit cards. They never have to leave their home, Once we're in the business of allowing some people's right to health to overcome other people's right to life, we're in seriously dangerous territory. It's always easy in life to say, oh, you know what would be easier? You know, there are dangerous neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. Maybe we should just go kill everyone in these neighborhoods to make it safer for you to walk out your front door. That's not the way that this works. You do not get to change the rights of other people because it makes it safer for you. The entire argument is that the baby has its own rights because unborn children do, in fact, have their own rights. It's also true that the number of cases in which abortion is medically necessary, again, is extraordinarily low. It's questionable as to whether these cases really exist, even in cases of, you know, preeclampsia and toxemia in late-stage pregnancy are extraordinarily rare. And in those cases, usually C-sections are actually the best medical solution, not dismemberment of the child. And virtually everyone who is pro-life agrees with the idea that if the life of the mother is in danger, then abortion can be considered. But when people on the left say the health of the mother, now they're talking about just the comfort of the mother, because the truth is we all undergo lots of health problems all the time. Now, you'll see cases that the left believes, again, using the outlier to dispense with what should be a general rule. When Ireland recently and tragically decided to reverse its position on abortion, they cited the case of a woman named Savita Halappanavar. In 2012, she died supposedly for lack of abortion. But three official investigations actually found that this woman died of sepsis, which is a blood infection that is caused by virulent bacteria. And if doctors had identified that earlier, abortion would not actually either have been necessary or it would have been performed to save the life of the mother. So when folks talk about how abortion laws prevent people from having healthy pregnancies or having healthy lives, it's just nonsense. Okay, argument number 8 is the slippery slope of control.
First, I need to remind you that there's a whole other side to this radio show. If you're listening on the radio right now and you think, man, that guy has just a beautiful voice. I wonder what his face looks like. It's even more handsome than my voice is beautiful. And you could be viewing it right this very instant over at DailyWire.com. So head on over to DailyWire, become a subscriber for just $9.99 a month. That means that you get the rest of the show on video. You can listen to old episodes of the show. It means that you get other shows that we've got, like Michael Knowles' show and Andrew Klavan's show and Matt Walsh's show. The entire Daily Wire team has its finger on the pulse of the conservative movement and will keep you educated and informed on the most newsworthy stories of the day. If you spend $99 a year, you get an actual piece of magical vesselry. I'm talking, of course, about the famed Daily Wire Leftist Tears Hot or Cold Tumbler. Makes a great present to your leftist friends. They're never annoyed by it, ever, I can tell you. Go to DailyWire.com, become a subscriber, join the tens of thousands of fans in supporting the largest conservative podcast in the United States. Plus, you can also check out our new Daily Wire store at Amazon.com. Stock up on official Daily Wire hoodies, T-shirts, sweaters, and more. Okay, so argument number 8 is the slippery slope of control. So we see advocates for Planned Parenthood marching around in their outfits based on The Handmaid's Tale, as though what all of the pro-lifers want is to restrict women to the bedroom so we can forcibly impregnate them and then call them things like of Ben. Like, this is what we're desperate to do. I mean, no offense to the people marching in the Women's March, but don't flatter yourselves, ladies. Okay, that is not high on the list of priorities for pretty much anyone. Okay. So the basic argument is that if we don't allow women to kill their unborn children, soon we will use them as pregnancy surrogates by force. The slippery slope is that if you don't get to kill a baby that you are complicit in creating, then I am going to come in your house, rape you, and force you to bear the child. That's a hell of an argument. I mean, really, if that's the way you feel about things, then you should forcibly imprison everybody who politically disagrees with you, because these are all incipient threats to your actual honor, right? What's really bizarre about this argument is, of course, nobody is forcing women to get pregnant. And we on the right are significantly more in favor of punishing rape stringently than folks on the left. And folks on the left seem to be okay with letting people out of prison for rape after 5 years. Folks on the right are a little less okay with that. Right? Whenever there's a case of a woman who's raped and the father who then goes and shoots the rapist, conservatives are secretly and openly cheering when that happens. It is people on the left who are generally saying, oh, that's just terrible. How could the father do something like that? Okay. Also, you know, the idea of forcing women into being surrogates, surrogacy can be useful and wonderful in some cases, but let's be real about this. Surrogacy is a privilege of rich Hollywood leftists. The people who are using surrogacy the most often are 40-year-old actresses in Hollywood who didn't want to get pregnancy because they wanted the flat tummy until they were 40, and then they decided to find a Guatemalan lady and have a surrogacy. Right? So the idea that this is a widespread problem is just not true. First of all, surrogacy is not all that prominent. Second of all, surrogacy is itself not really an issue. It's not a moral issue. And third of all, no one is doing this. Like, where are they getting this?
We're all going to invade their bedrooms. It's just absurd. Okay, argument number 9 is the overpopulation problem. We should kill lots of babies because there are too many people already. First of all, this has always been untrue. The Malthusian argument that there are too many people has been disproved over and over and over again. As there are more people, there is also additional productivity. There are more geniuses. There are more people creating awesome new products and services. There are lots of people who are creating great things. There was a bet between Paul Ehrlich back in the 1980s, between Paul Ehrlich, who's an environmental scientist, philosopher at UC Berkeley. He also happens to be adult. And Julian Simon, who's a professor at University of Maryland. And the bet went like this. Julian Simon said to Paul Ehrlich, you pick any three commodities, any three, and I will make you a bet that within 10, you can pick any of them, that within 10 years, the price of these commodities will have gone down. The reason he said this is because additional creativity will create additional productivity for these particular products. Now, Paul Ehrlich's case was there are more people. More people means more demand. More demand means less supply available to more people, so prices will go up. Julian Simon won that bet because with additional people comes additional beauty in the world, comes additional creativity, comes additional brilliance. Also, again, the argument doesn't hold on any logical level. Right? If there are too many people in the world right now, which million or billion would you kill off? If you're really that worried about overpopulation to the point where you think that overpopulation is a threat to humanity as a whole, then we better start picking out who exactly we're going to take out back. Folks on the left don't really like to talk about that sort of thing because they recognize how evil it is. But if they're casting aspersions at people who can't defend themselves, who don't have a voice to speak for themselves, then it's completely different. Finally, argument number 10. This one has become popular in recent years after the book Freakonomics came out. That argument is that abortion lowers the crime rate. Right, that what has lowered the crime rate traditionally has been killing all the would-be criminals. First of all, okay, that I don't know who's comfortable with the pre-crime version of humanity, where we get to decide before you're born whether you're likely to be a criminal and then abort you based on future criminal activity in which you have not participated. Right, the argument, I guess, here is that would you kill baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler, right? Because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. Right, what you presumably want to do with baby Hitler was take baby Hitler out of baby Hitler's house and move baby Hitler into a better house where he would not grow up to be Hitler, right? That's the idea. But it is also true that the crime statistics do not even match up. Criminologist Barry Latzer points out that abortions became available in 1973 under Roe versus Wade. Those young people would go on to create a massive crime spike and the crack cocaine epidemic. But if you move forward 15 to 20 years, right, which that's when you would see the crime drop due to the abortion of babies. But there is no crime drop. You'd expect the absent babies, right, the babies that were killed starting in 1973, not to be around carjacking people. But it turns out that people were still carjacking people 15 years after Roe v. Wade, 20 years after Roe v. Wade. The crime spike only began to drop in 1994, a solid 21 years after Roe v. Wade was actually put in place. That can't be due to abortion. Right, that's really due to additional policing, so it doesn't even match up statistically. Okay, now, in all of this discussion, I've refrained from discussing the Bible and religion. Now, one of the arguments that I've made is based on the Bible or religion. Now, the media will pretend that I didn't make any of these arguments, that it's all about the Bible and religion, because the left prefers to believe that religion is stupid, and people who believe in religion are stupid, people who believe in God are idiots, and that's the reason why we prefer to protect the lives of the unborn. But we do have to recognize one religious root to every argument that I'm making, and that is the innate value of human life. That is a religiously based argument. Okay, the system that produces both science and the Enlightenment is rooted in biblical values. A Judeo-Christian system created a system based on science. Science only rose in the West because it was based on the idea that you live in an understandable universe created by an all-knowing God. And that all-knowing God wanted you to investigate that universe so that you could understand science, so that you could understand the world around you. That same creator also gave us the most important verse in the history of humanity, that human beings are made in the image of God. Without that fundamental assumption, without that fundamental knowledge, none of this matters. And no policy argument matters. Forget about abortion. No policy argument matters without the acknowledgement that every human being has value. Once you accept that every human being has value, you can no longer be quote-unquote pro-choice, using their euphemism. You must be pro-life. If every human being has value, then that means that every human being deserves to be protected, no matter how small, no matter how early. All of them deserve to be protected because they are innately valuable.
Coming up, a very special guest, Vice President Mike Pence, stops by to say hello. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, live from the March for Life.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare Water Systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to bestwaternow.com. HydroCare will eliminate limescale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances without using salt. Well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE, 1-888-973-WAVE, or go to bestwaternow.com. That's bestwaternow.com.
Wave Home Solutions, for a healthy, comfortable home.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is the Savage Nation.
I am waiting for Da Vinci to appear. I haven't seen one yet. All I see are lies and propaganda about the fact that they're delivering so many goods to this country in terms of culture. So far as I can tell, they're not delivering much in the way of culture. Our borders are being destroyed, our language is being destroyed, and our culture is being destroyed. No, not all immigrants are equal. Pardon me.
The Savage Nation from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show, live from the March for Life. All right. Well, I want to bring on the program right now a very special guest, Vice President Mike Pence. Thanks for joining the Ben Shapiro Show.
Thank you, Ben. It's great to be with you. Thank you for being at the 46th annual March for Life, and thanks for being a leading voice for life in this pro-life generation.
Well, we're really excited to have you. Can you talk for a couple of minutes about the importance of the March for Life, why the March for Life matters, and why this issue ought to matter to all Americans?
Well, it just, it is an extraordinarily important event. You think 46 years ago this month, a majority of the Supreme Court of the United States turned its back on the unalienable right to life. And here, nearly a half century later, generations of Americans have come together to say, no, we are going to put the sanctity of life back at the center of American law, and I believe in our lifetime we will accomplish that. We will stand for life in America. Yeah.
Well, Vice President Pence, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the Trump administration has done to protect human life. This is one of the more glorious parts of the Trump administration's record. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what you've done legislative and in regulatory fashion to protect the unborn.
Well, as you know our family, and you know my kids are big fans of yours, like all the great young people listening this morning at the March for Life and around the country. Since Karen and I entered public life, we've stood for life, and I couldn't be more proud to be vice president to the most pro-life president in American history, President Donald Trump. You look at the record of this administration. You look at from literally the first days of this administration, the president reinstituted the Mexico City policy that had been overturned by President Obama. Now no federal tax dollars go to any foreign organization that supports or promotes abortion around the world. It was also my great honor to cast the tie-breaking vote, Ben, in the United States Senate that allows states across this country to defund Planned Parenthood. And President Trump has kept his promise to the American people, appointing in the last 2 years a record number of conservative men and women to our federal courts at every level who will uphold all the God-given liberties enshrined in our Constitution, and that includes Justice Neil Gorsuch and Justice Brett Kavanaugh. So we've got a record of extraordinary progress on the right to life, and it's my great honor to serve in this administration. But I must tell you, Ben, that your voice on the airwaves across the nation, your presence at this March for Life, the presence of this pro-life generation that will gather on the National Mall today gives us great, great confidence that this will be the generation that restores the right to life in America. And I thank you. I truly do.
Vice President Pence, I want to ask you a little bit about some of those threats, because this obviously is a battle and it's an ongoing battle. We've seen just in the last week, unfortunately, a House Democratic caucus has decided to try and raise the issue of the Hyde Amendment. The more radical members of the Democratic caucus want federal funding directly for abortion. They're trying to reverse President Trump's policy on the Mexico City policy. What do you see as the chief threats to the right to life moving forward as unfortunately one of the parties becomes more radical on this issue?
Well, look, the American people elected in 2016 a pro-life president and pro-life majorities in the House and Senate. We made great progress. We actually expanded the pro-life majority in the United States Senate in the 2018 elections. But the Democratic Party, the party of abortion on demand, is now has a majority. But I can promise you that our pro-life colleagues on Capitol Hill and this pro-life president will stand in the gap. We will uphold the Hyde Amendment, and we will stand up for the right to life against all of their efforts.
Beyond the march today, what do you hope that everybody takes home from the march, and what would you like to see everybody do when they get back to the towns and cities where they live to help continue to push for pro-life positions and try to protect the lives of the unborn?
Well, my message to each one of them is first and foremost, Ben, and really to you, is to say thank you. Thank you for standing for life. It takes courage in this day and age to stand up for your values. And my word to each and every one gathered there and all those listening around the country is continue to stand firm, to be prepared to give the reason for your devotion to life, for the hope that you have, and be prepared to defend life, but do it with gentleness and respect and love. The progress that we have made in the last 46 years has been driven by the stand for the unalienable right to life that millions of Americans continue to take and have taken. But it's also, I truly believe, been demonstrated by the faith and the compassion that's been shown for women in crisis pregnancies. I met
Hi, Michael with Hokumas, where Redding shops for the best buys in vacuums and helpful home cleaning products. Got hairy pets? Stop by Hokumas and ask to see our exclusive pet hair and lint removal tool. The Forget It tool by Ricara is perfect for cleanups on upholstery, carpet, even that dark shirt or blouse your pet's fur loves to cling to. And for those bigger home cleanup jobs, check out our line of Ricara upright and canister vacs that feature rugged chrome steel brush rollers, not the disposable plastic kind. These rollers always give you the best cleaning results ever. Want to save time vacuuming dirty carpets? Drop into Hokumas and check out Ricara Tandem, the latest technology in vacuum cleaners. Either upright or canister style, these super machines clean with dual motors for a faster, deeper clean. And while you're here, try out the best performing convenience upright we've ever found. Ricara's super lightweight vacuums will clean your house with time to spare. No back-breaking vacuuming anymore. These great vacs make for the most convenient upright vacuum ever. Hokumas on Bocelli Lane in Redding, 223-1970, online at Hokumas.net, or like us on Facebook.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. A rare public statement from the special counsel's office, and we get details from correspondent George Bonzani.
The contested BuzzFeed story claimed that the president supposedly directed Michael Cohen to lie to lawmakers about a 2016 Moscow real estate project. Now Robert Mueller's office has weighed in with a Friday night statement challenging the BuzzFeed story. In the words of its spokesman, Peter Carr, in part, quote, "Characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate," unquote. Earlier Friday, President Trump's current personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, had termed the BuzzFeed contentions, quote, "categorically false," unquote. George Bonzani reporting.
BuzzFeed says it stands by its reporting but is working to determine what exactly Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office is disputing. President Donald Trump says he will make a major announcement on the government shutdown and the southern border on Saturday afternoon from the White House at 3 p.m. Senators continue, meanwhile, to argue over the shutdown. Virginia Senator Mark Warner says Democrats will negotiate but will not simply cave to President Trump's demand.
The one thing that our Republican colleagues have said as well, you reward this behavior, he will try this again 3 months from now. He will try this again when the spending bill is going forward. You don't reward a bully.
While Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman says he's sick over the shutdown.
We're now on day 28 of the government shutdown. And I'm more discouraged now than I've been during this entire impasse. We're better than this. We're stuck.
President Donald Trump is promising that he will veto any bill that weakens the protection of human life. He spoke via video Friday to participants in this year's March for Life on the National Mall. Tens of thousands braved the cold to attend Friday's event. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Patriot Mobile wants you to know that you can get a great deal while spending zero of your hard-earned dollars on liberal causes. As President Trump has said, we are in a crisis, and that means every dollar counts. Don't waste your efforts on something as simple as your cell phone. You're going to use it every day and pay for it anyway, so why not switch to a company like Patriot Mobile that is actively fighting for border wall security, pro-life, and Second Amendment rights? Patriot Mobile makes the transition easy. You can call 1-800-A-PATRIOT and talk to a real live person who shares your traditional American values and will help you save money and switch from Big Mobile to America's only conservative cell phone company. You get the same reliable nationwide service. And with unlimited plans starting as low as $20 per month, why wait? Visit them online at patriotmobile.com/Hugh or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT, 1-800-272-8746. Patriot Mobile. Let's secure the border and secure the future of America. PatriotMobile.com/Hugh or call them at 1-800-A-PATRIOT.
Queen Elizabeth II's husband, Prince Philip, avoided injury when he was involved in a car crash while driving in rural England.
Buckingham Palace said Philip, who is 97 years old, was checked by a doctor after the accident and determined to be fine. The collision between Prince Philip's Land Rover and another car carrying two women happened near Sandringham Estates, the Queen's country retreat in eastern England. Witnesses recall that Philip appeared very shocked and shaken after the collision, which caused the Land Rover he was driving to overturn. Norfolk police said Prince Philip and the driver of the other car were given alcohol breath tests under routine procedures. The four said both drivers tested negative. Karen Chamas, London.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says all countries should be concerned about Beijing's blending of its commercial interest with threats of consequences if Canada does not do what China wants. China detained two Canadians in an apparent attempt to pressure Canada to release Chinese Huawei executive Meng Wanzhou in Canada on December 1st. News and analysis at townhall.com. A major winter storm is forecast to impact areas of the Midwest and New England as it moves across the nation's midsection toward the northeast. The forecast is calling for heavy snowfall, sleet, freezing rain, and strong winds expected to cause widespread disruption. In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf says that the state's imposing speed and travel restrictions and closing major roadways during the storm.
We'll impose a ban on all commercial traffic, including buses, on most interstates and on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The vehicle bans will allow our snowplow crews to have a clearer route to keep these interstates open despite expected severe winter weather.
The National Weather Service has issued a series of winter storm warnings. Johnsonville LLC has recalled more than 48,000 pounds of raw ground frozen pork patties that may be contaminated with materials including black rubber. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered.
Black Bear Diner.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. We're going to talk government shutdown. We're going to talk the Democrats fully embracing open borders. And we're going to talk about casual homophobia on the part of the left. We begin with President Trump, who struck back at Nancy Pelosi late last night with a bit of a hilarious gambit. So as you recall, Nancy Pelosi canceled the State of the Union Address. And in the process of canceling the State of the Union Address, she suggested that they just didn't have the wherewithal to make the State of the Union Address happen. There just weren't the security forces available. Department of Homeland Security wouldn't be able to make this happen. Well, that was a lie. Okay, the Department of Homeland Security, Christian Nielsen, who's the head of the DHS, she came out and said, listen, we're still providing security to Congress. We're still providing security to the president. We could absolutely make the State of the Union Address happen. This is really not about security. This is about Nancy Pelosi not wanting to be humiliated publicly. Well, the president last night did something pretty hilarious. I will say hilarious, but ill-advised, as so much is these days. The president sent a letter to Nancy Pelosi, and here's what it said. It said, Dear Madam Speaker, due to the shutdown, I am sorry to inform you that your trip to Brussels, Egypt, and Afghanistan has been postponed. We will reschedule this 7-day excursion when the shutdown is over. In light of the 800,000 great American workers not receiving pay, I'm sure you would also agree that postponing this public relations event is totally appropriate. I also feel that during this period, it would be better if you were in Washington, negotiating with me and joining the strong border security movement to end the shutdown. And this is obviously written by Trump, this letter, by the way. It's not like a lot of his other letters where staffers are writing these. You can see that Trump wrote this. Shutdown is capitalized. Strong border security. All three words capitalized. Obviously, if you would like to make your journey by flying commercial, that would certainly be your prerogative. Yeah, I'm sure Nancy Pelosi is going to fly commercial into Afghanistan after President Trump reveals that she's taking a trip to Afghanistan. I'm sure that would be wildly safe, because I look forward to seeing you soon, and even more forward to watching our open and dangerous southern border finally receive the attention, funding, and security it so desperately deserves. Sincerely, Donald J. Trump. So, pretty spectacularly funny stuff from the President of the United States. Jake Tapper points out, more precisely, the President is not allowing Speaker Pelosi and the congressional delegation to use U.S. military aircraft to fly to Belgium, where they were supposed to meet with NATO leaders, and then to Afghanistan to meet with service members. Now, Nancy Pelosi is fighting back. She is suggesting that President Trump just doesn't want her to meet with the service members or meet with the folks over at NATO, that this was actually a real governmental trip. It wasn't just like most governmental trips, which is to say people go to faraway places in exotic lands, and then they hang out with beautiful people. According to Tapper, a White House official told CNN that Pelosi and the delegation are welcome to fly commercial to Afghanistan, which is a remarkable statement given that the White House just announced this trip to the world, a violation of all security protocols. Pelosi's team also sent out a statement suggesting that they weren't even traveling to Egypt. That wasn't even on the itinerary, so Trump had a different itinerary than Pelosi. He apparently canceled this trip on 1-hour notice. So Nancy Pelosi was all ready to go. She had all of her luggage ready. And then Trump pulled the military plane from her and said, listen, if you're not going to let me do the State of the Union, then I guess you're not going on your little trip here. So it's inherently funny. Now, here's the problem. Yeah, because two things can be true at once, as I'm fond of saying. It can both be funny and also non-productive. In fact, counterproductive in a couple of ways for the president to do this. Number one, it's counterproductive because it makes this whole thing look petty. It makes it look like it's just a slap fight between Trump and Pelosi. Like it's just a matter of personal pique between Trump and Pelosi, and that he's doing this all out of just a misplaced angst and upset over the situation with his presidency and all this. Like, do you remember why the shutdown is going on? You probably do if you're conservative because you recall that the border is unsafe. But if you're a normal, non-political American who doesn't watch this stuff very closely, and you just see the president and Nancy Pelosi fighting like Napoleon Dynamite and his brother, like slap fighting each other, does it make you think that the government shutdown is deeply necessary, that we must continue this no matter what because it's just a high priority? Or does it sound more like this is a personal problem between Trump and Pelosi, which is what Pelosi wants this thing to sound like? Drew Hamill, who is Pelosi's chief of staff or communications officer, he says the CODL, which is the trip to Afghanistan, included a required stop in Brussels for pilot rest. In Brussels, the delegation was scheduled to meet with top NATO commanders, U.S. military leaders, and key allies to affirm the U.S.'s ironclad commitment to the NATO alliance. This weekend visit to Afghanistan did not include a stop in Egypt. The purpose of the trip was to express appreciation and thanks to our men and women in uniform for their service and dedication and to obtain critical national security and intelligence briefings from those on the front lines. The president traveled to Iraq during the Trump shutdown, as did a Republican trip led by Representative Lee Zeldin. So that makes it look like Trump is just retaliating against Pelosi, which, of course, is exactly what he's doing. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who has been very pro-Trump, he's not super happy with this. He says, one sophomoric response does not deserve another. Speaker Pelosi's threat to cancel the State of the Union is very irresponsible and blatantly political. President Trump denying Speaker Pelosi military travel to visit our troops in Afghanistan, our allies in Egypt and NATO, is also inappropriate. Now, here's what I think President Trump should have done here. Right? What he should have done is he should have let Pelosi go on this trip. And then he should have said, so, you're telling me that we don't have the resources necessary for me to speak, you know, a block away because there's no space at all between the White House and Congress. We don't have the military or security resources necessary to take me three blocks in a car and drop me at one of the safest sites in America. But we have the resources to take Nancy Pelosi all the way around the world to Afghanistan, where she will be in imminent danger if we did not actually use military resources. We have all the resources for that, but we don't have the resources for me to go four blocks. This is obviously a partisan political hit job by Nancy Pelosi. Now, by doing this, again, he's reduced this now to a slap fight between Nancy Pelosi and himself. Now, listen, his base is going to love it. People who love President Trump are going to love it because it's, again, this he fights feeling. Well, he fights. But right now, he doesn't need his base. I mean, he needs his base in the sense he can't lose them, but he needs a lot more than his base. His approval rating is down to 35-37%. If you want him to win the government shutdown, then every move he makes has to be calculated toward one particular end. And that end has to be driving the public narrative toward immigration and illegal immigration and border security, not toward the politics of personal destruction in which Democrats are comfortable. Remember, when Trump gave his speech from the Oval Office, he did a good job of making sure that the focus was on border security. The Democrats were focused solely on the government shutdown, and their case is that Trump was being petty, that this was just about Trump getting a political win, so why are people out of work right now? Why are people not getting their checks right now? Does this move by President Trump with regard to Pelosi drive you more toward the Democrat narrative or toward the Republican narrative that this is deeply about border security? It's hard for me to say that independents and moderates are going to cut in favor of President Trump's strategy here. Now, Trump's polling numbers continue to drop rather precipitously. There's a poll out yesterday showing, it's a news, an NPR, PBS NewsHour Marist poll, showing that President Trump has dipped 3 points since December. He's from 42 to 39, but he's losing the groups that he actually needs right now. Since December, he's lost 7 points with white evangelical Christians, 7 points with white male non-college graduates. His support among white voters overall has dipped 10 points from 50% to 40%. Respondents were also asked, thinking about the 2020 election, do you definitely plan to vote for President Trump for re-election, or do you definitely plan to vote against him? 57% of Americans said they definitely plan to vote against President Trump, including 60% of voters in the Midwest. That would be a lot of those states he needs to win. Among self-identified Trump supporters, 7% said they'd vote against him. Another 17% are unsure. At a similar point in Barack Obama's presidency, about 44% of Americans said they would definitely vote against his re-election. And in the end, about 47% of Americans voted against his re-election. So if you're at 57% of Americans saying they don't want to vote for you, you got a problem. Now, again, we're 2 years out, so all of that could radically change. But that means that President Trump is going to have to change how he does stuff. I know, it's very difficult. You got to dance with the gal that brung you is sort of the rule in politics. That if you did something and it got you to the presidency, why would you change anything? But the truth is that getting to the presidency and being president are two very different jobs. What got you the job at the police department is not the same skill set that you need at the police department in order to maintain and rise in the police department. You need to learn a whole new set of skills. Well, President Trump is going to have to be a lot more diligent about how he applies his skill set. The guy has an incredible ability to generate attention, obviously. He has a real ability to troll people. But he's going to have to do more than that. Now, the good news for him is that Democrats are really bad at this. So it's not like he doesn't have openings. He does have openings if he is strategic. Right, Democrats, yesterday, Democratic senators, were tweeting out Cardi B comments. Now, Cardi B, as a joke, you know, we've suggested that Cardi B on taxes ought to be listened to. That's a joke, okay? That's not because I actually think that Cardi B has wisdom on taxes. I don't think of Cardi B as a political guide. You remember maybe a year ago, she was on tape ranting and raving about how she was spending an enormous amount of money on taxes. She said, where's my mother effing money? Right? She kept ranting about this. And we played it because it's funny. Well, Democrats are taking very seriously her comments on the government shutdown. I'm going to play those for you in just 1 second. But first, I need to tell you about MediShare. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health care insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan you're just not that happy with, you still have a choice. It is called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian health care sharing program. They've been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this. Over the years, MediShare's members have shared over $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they can help share your needs as well. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more, they could be less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So, if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Just go to MediShare.com/Ben or call 844-51-BIBLE to find out more. No pressure. Super easy to talk to folks over there. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com/Ben. That is MediShare.com/Ben or call 844-51-BIBLE. For more information, that's 844-51-BIBLE. Again, 844-51-BIBLE or MediShare.com/Ben to learn more about MediShare. Okay, so Cardi B is being treated by the members of the Democratic caucus as the font of all wisdom. Legitimately, last night, there were several senators who were tweeting at each other, should we tweet her out? Let's tweet her out. She's the best. Because celebrity politics is the name of the game. Here's Cardi B, whose music I do not know, nor do I love, talking about the government shutdown.
Trump is now ordering, as in summoning, federal government workers to go back to work without getting paid. Now, I don't want to hear y'all motherfuckers talking about, oh, but Obama shut down the government for 17 days. Yeah, bitch, for health care. So your grandma could check her blood pressure, and you could go check your in the gynecologist with no motherfucking problem. Now, I know a lot of y'all don't care because y'all don't work for the government, or y'all probably don't even have a job, but this shit is really fucking serious, bro. This shit is crazy. Like, our country is in a hellhole right now.
Okay, so, no. Okay, Barack Obama shut down the government to fund Obamacare. Your grandmother still would have gotten her blood pressure medication. And all this is silly. Democrats were tweeting this out last night because we live in a world where little sound bites from Cardi B make the rounds. And I will admit that I was complicit in that because I was joking. Democrats are not really joking when they distribute all of this stuff. Okay, meanwhile, the Democrats, as I say, they're not doing a very good job of defending themselves. They look kind of silly. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez made herself look like a fool yesterday, because she went looking for Mitch McConnell in the Capitol building and could not find him, proving once again that women should ask men for directions. In any case, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez and a couple of her female colleagues went around the Senate building looking for Mitch McConnell. All they had to do was stop by the majority leader's office, which is where he is. Right, that's in the Rayburn building. Okay, she's in the wrong building. She was in the Capitol building. And she was just looking around for him. Where is he? Where is he gone? Is he trying to avoid me? No, he doesn't know you're around, lady. He doesn't know what you're doing. So here's Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez basically, as someone tweeted last night, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez basically walking around with the sunglasses on top of her head going, where are my sunglasses?
Now we're on the Senate side.
That's right.
Now we're on the Senate side. We're roving out to the Senate side because the thing is, we went to his office in the Capitol. We went to his office here in the Russell building. We went to the floor. We went to the cloakroom. He's not in the cloakroom. He's not in the Capitol. He's not in the Russell building. He's not in the floor of the Senate. And 800,000 people don't have their paychecks. So where's Mitch? And just my question.
He was in his office. That was the answer. He was in his office. He was in the Russell building, in the majority leader's office, which is a different office than his Senate Mitch McConnell office. So well done, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Okay, meanwhile, we need to ask a question. Should we all be deeply alarmed by the shutdown? There are a lot of these economic reports coming out suggesting that the economy will be doomed by the shutdown. Is that really true? Or is it true that there will be a temporary knock and then everybody think we'll get back to normal? We'll talk about it in just a second. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
I am waiting for Da Vinci to appear. I haven't seen one yet. All I see are lies and propaganda about the fact that they're delivering so many goods to this country in terms of culture. So far as I can tell, they're not delivering much in the way of culture. Our borders are being destroyed, our language is being destroyed, and our culture is being destroyed. No, not all immigrants are equal. Pardon me.
The Savage Nation from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So a lot of talk in the media about how much economic harm is going to be done by this shutdown. The idea being that we are not spending money on the government. Because we don't spend money on the government, other people don't get their money, and that creates this negative multiplier effect. Now, I don't believe in the Keynesian economic theory of the multiplier effect, that just because you spend a dollar, that you have suddenly created massive growth in the economy. It depends what the dollar is spent on. It depends what is being created. Right, are new products and services being created? Like this idea that just spending, that saving hurts the economy and spending helps the economy. And so if the government just injects a bunch of money into the economy through spending, that this helps the economy inherently. I don't buy that. I don't buy that if you remove taxpayer dollars from me and then you take them and the government spends them on random stuff, that that is somehow helping to grow the economy in any real way. It's one of the problems we have with measuring our economy. Gross domestic product is based on the amount of money spent on goods and services. That's what GDP is based on. But that doesn't really explain where economic growth really lies, which is in all the new innovation, all the new businesses, all the better products you can get, all the stuff you can get for the dollar. All that stuff is more important to you on a daily level than how much money you spend. If I said that you were rich because you spent a lot of money, you'd say that doesn't make any sense. Right? You're not rich because you spend a lot of money. You're rich because of all the stuff you have the capacity to buy or have bought. Okay? In any case, people who are really worried about the shutdown, I think they're overstating their case. I'm not the only one. Adam Brandon and John Tamney are columnists over at Real Clear Markets, and here's what they write. According to Congressional Budget Office data, the federal government spent $3.9 trillion in 2017. In Argentina, total federal spending in 2017 was $161 billion. The above statistical disparity rates rates mention in consideration of all the hand-wringing related to the partial federal government shutdown in the United States, supposedly an elongated one would slam the brakes on the U.S. economic expansion. No less than J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon observed this week that a prolonged shuttering of one quarter of the federal government could reduce growth to zero. Dimon would be wise to relax. So would others convinced that government spending is a substantial driver of U.S. economic vitality. Nothing could be further from the truth. In other words, just because the government is spending money doesn't mean that the economy is growing. And we saw this during the Great Depression when FDR spent oodles and oodles and oodles of money and the unemployment rate remained extraordinarily high and the Depression lasted for a decade. Implicit in what's wholly false is that Argentina's economy is a fraction of the U.S.'s simply because its politicians are quite a bit more parsimonious than our members of Congress. In other words, if you think that Argentina's economy is smaller because they're spending less money on the governmental level, that doesn't make any sense. Such a view isn't serious, but it's a reminder of just how much statistics can obscure reality. Simply put, Argentina's federal spending is a fraction of U.S. federal spending precisely because its economic output is a fraction of what takes place stateside. It's the other way around. The U.S. government can afford to spend a lot of money because it is taking in a lot of money through taxpayer dollars. Just the same, federal spending in the U.S. dwarfs that of other countries precisely because the U.S. economy is quite a bit larger than other country economies. So in other words, you've got this backwards. The U.S. economy is very large, and therefore we spend a lot of money. It is not that we spend a lot of money, and therefore the U.S. economy is very large. Governments only have money to spend insofar as the private sector in countries produces wealth for them to spend. You would think this would be elementary basic logic, but not according to many on the Democratic side, who are now claiming that we should be able to just borrow, but borrow and borrow and borrow money through what they call new monetary theory. We should just continue borrowing money. There will be no consequences. Borrow as much money as you could possibly want under all circumstances. That will grow the economy. Stupid. Congress was able to spend $4.1 trillion, write these columnists at Real Clear Markets, in 2018 because American output is many multiples of $4.1 trillion. Governments cannot stimulate economic growth with spending. Rather, their spending is only possible because of economic growth. Applied to the partial shutdown of the federal government, what limits government spending logically cannot limit economic growth. Figure that if there were a permanent cessation of a quarter of federal activity, the result would be trillions worth of extra resources for private actors to put to work. In other words, if the government spent less and returned all your money to you, would you now be poorer in some way? Would the economy be poorer? Would we all stop going to the store? Would we all stop our businesses from operating? Or would you take all that additional capital and use it for things? Readers should think about the above for a moment. When our federal government spends, it means that Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and Donald Trump are playing a substantial role in the allocation of trillions worth of wealth first created in the private sector. On the other hand, when fewer dollars flow to Washington, it happily means that people like Jeff Bezos, Peter Thiel, and Travis Kalanick have more in the way of resources to experiment with. Yet defenders of the big government status quo persist. In a client report written last week, Regions Bank chief economist Richard Moody lamented that the partial shutdown would disrupt the, quote, flow of economic data at a most inopportune time, given increased uncertainty about the course of the U.S. economy. Moody's actually making the case for a more permanent shutdown. Lest you forget, arguably the most scrutinized of all economic statistics produced by the federal government is the one that measures the rate of unemployment in the United States. But that's completely unnecessary, that report. The Bureau of Labor Statistics employs 2,500 people at a cost of $640 million annually to produce its monthly unemployment report. Each month, meanwhile, the private company ADP releases a report 2 days ahead of the BLS that nearly mimics the BLS, all at no expense to the taxpayer, because it turns out people want to know how many people are unemployed in the United States. What works for unemployment can logically work for any other statistic economists claim to be necessary for them to do their jobs. If it's necessary, private actors will do it. The point of all of this is that true believers in limited government would be wise not to let this partial government shutdown go to waste. Instead, proponents of a shrunken federal footprint should seriously address whether or not many people in a country populated by over 300 million have actually noticed a difference in their lives in the past few weeks. Right? The real question here is not whether a partial government shutdown is bad. The real question is who's noticed other than the people who are working for the federal government. Right? When we pay our essential employees, everything seems to be fine. So maybe we should reduce the size and scope of federal government. It seems to me the exact correct take on the government shutdown issue, and I do not understand for the life of me why Republicans are also treating the government shutdown as a political crisis. Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about the Democrats' position on borders. They keep saying, we're not open borders, we're not open borders. And then one columnist admits, yeah, I kind of like open borders. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com. Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we'll learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Winter is coming. At least that's what the calendar says, and the nights are getting cooler. So you don't want to put off having your monitor or Toyotomi heater and water heater serviced, and SST Oil are the people to call today at 241-1167. Stay warm and cozy when the temperature drops by having that system checked and fresh fuel delivered. SST Oil, delivering to our firefighters, and they'll bring that same dedication to your home. SST Oil, Wyndham Lane in Reading, 241-1167.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Christian students who attend public schools should be knowledgeable about their legal rights to share their testimony and the good news of Jesus Christ. Pacific Justice Institute has prepared a valuable resource for you. Go to pji.org and download our free ebook titled Reclaim Your School.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004.
but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we keep hearing from folks in the media that when President Trump says that Democrats are for open borders, that's a lie. Of course Democrats aren't for open borders. I mean, they voted for a Secure Fence Act like 5-6 years ago. In 2006, they voted for the Secure Fence Act. So 12 years ago, they voted for additional fencing along the border. How can you say they're for open borders? Well, number one, that does raise the question. If they're not for open borders now, then why have they changed their position on border barriers? But number two, there's a bit of an awkward moment now because the New York Times has an opinion piece by a guy named Farhad Manjoo, who's one of their opinion columnists. And the title of the piece, is literally, "There is nothing wrong with open borders." Hard to make the case that you're not anti-borders when you're openly making the case that there should be no borders. You remember Keith Ellison, who was a high-ranking member of the Democratic caucus, was wearing shirts that said things like, "There should be no borders." So it's not out of the blue. The Republicans are claiming that Democrats are not fans of borders. So Farhad Manjoo makes the case. He says, "The internet expands the bounds of acceptable discourse. So ideas considered out of bounds not long ago now rocket toward widespread acceptability. See cannabis legalization, government-run health care, white nationalism, and, of course, the flat earthers." Well, I do appreciate that he is putting government-run health care and white nationalism in the same sentence. He says, "Yet there is one political shore that remains stubbornly beyond the horizon. It's an idea almost nobody in mainstream politics will address, other than to hurl the label as a bloody cudgel. I'm talking about opening up America's borders to everyone who wants to move here. Imagine not just opposing President Trump's wall, but also opposing the nation's cruel and expensive immigration and border security apparatus in its entirety. Imagine radically shifting our stance toward outsiders from one of suspicion to one of warm embrace. Imagine that if you passed a minimal background check, you'd be free to live, work, pay taxes, and die in the United States. Imagine moving from Nigeria to Nebraska as freely as one might move from Massachusetts to Maine." Remember, there's a columnist in the New York Times. So, again, he's making the open case for open borders. He says, "There's a witheringly obvious moral, economic, strategic, and cultural case for open borders, and we have a political opportunity to push it. Please, Democrats, do this. Please do it." As Democrats jockey for the presidency, Manjoo writes, "There's room for a brave politician to oppose President Trump's racist immigration rhetoric, not just by fighting his wall and calling for the abolition of ICE, but also by making a proactive and affirmative case for the vast expansion of immigration. It would be a change from the stale politics of the modern era, in which both parties agreed on the supposed wisdom of border security and assumed that immigrants were to be feared." Well, the stale politics of the modern era are based on a basic truth, which is that welfare states cannot have open immigration. There's not a welfare state in Europe that has open immigration, and when they do have massive welfare states in an open immigration system, it leads to massive tears in the social fabric. Right? The states with the most generous welfare states, with the most generous social safety nets, the states of Scandinavia, they have extraordinarily restrictive immigration policies. And when they tried to repeal those very restrictive immigration policies in places like Sweden, it immediately led to an onrush of people from countries that had no economic development. These folks had no education. They lived in cultural enclaves. They did not assimilate. They took over full cities. And this led to enormous amounts of real discontent inside places like Sweden. Take the city of Malmo, Sweden, which was taken over largely by Muslims from areas that were not particularly pro-Western, and now Jews can no longer live in Malmo. Right? It's completely changed culturally. It's not unique. There's a reason that the Swedish government is now anti-immigration in extremes, like in the extreme. Nordic politicians talk in a way about immigration that American politicians simply do not talk. They talk about how people need to assimilate, how we cannot have people living in enclaves. I mean, they're very open about this. And the reason they're open about this is because they've already seen the cost of a giant welfare state combined with open immigration, and it ain't good. The problem, as we'll talk about a little later in the show, the problem for a lot of these European countries is that nobody in their countries is having babies, and so in order for their massive welfare states to survive, they need fresh blood, but the people who are coming in are not necessarily going to be able to support the welfare state because the welfare state actually requires people with higher levels of education to make the money and produce the products and services that make the economy go. So Europe has kind of tied itself in a knot over immigration, but Farhad Manjoo, he says, no, we should do that. Brexit, by the way, is based largely on immigration. The reason that Britain pulled out of the EU or is trying to pull out of the EU was largely based on the fact that many people in Britain were not happy about the free ability to travel and settle anywhere within the EU when countries like Germany were admitting 1 million refugees a year. It would be a change from the stale politics of the modern era, says Farhad Manjoo, in which both parties agreed on the supposed wisdom of border security. As an immigrant, this idea confounds me. My family came to the United States from our native South Africa in the late 1980s. After jumping through lots of expensive and confusing legal hoops, we became citizens in 2000. Obviously, it was a blessing. In rescuing me from a society in which people of my color were systematically oppressed, America has given me a chance at liberty. But why had I deserved that chance, while so many others back home, because their parents lacked certain skills, money, or luck, were denied it? Well, that part of the sentence, you know, the little caveat there, that would be why, right? If your parents lack certain skills, money, or luck, you're not getting in. It shouldn't be about luck, but it should certainly be about skills. The United States does have the ability to discriminate among the people coming into the country as to whether that person is going to add to the country or detract from the country. If there were no welfare state in the United States, I, too, would be very much in favor of open immigration. Why? Because the people who would be coming across specifically to engage in the American practice of economic liberty. In the early 20th century, there was virtually no welfare state in the United States, and people were coming from Europe by the millions every year. In the year 1907, when my great-grandparents came to the United States, something like 1 million immigrants came from Eastern Europe to the United States in that year alone. And remember, that was in 1907. Transportation wasn't that easy. And that was fine. That was great. Why? Because the bargain that was being made is that you were leaving behind everything that you had, all your property. You were leaving behind all your family, and you were coming here to set out on this great American adventure with us. You know, it's amazing that we seem to think that we can change the entire incentive structure for immigration and receive exactly the same crop of immigrants. That's not how this works. Okay, if Hermé does not have the same clientele as the local soup kitchen. And when you give things away for free, people show up to take things for free. And that doesn't mean that they're inherently bad. It doesn't mean they're inherently vicious or mean or criminal or anything. But it does mean that the incentives have changed, obviously. Whereas if you say to people, listen, if you come in here, you're not getting anything for free. Here's what you get. We won't bother you. Right? That's what you get, that we won't bother you. The people who show up will be the people who don't want to be bothered, who don't want the government interfering in their lives, who don't want to mooch off of other people, who don't want to rely on the welfare state. But if you change the incentive system, sure, a lot of people will still want to come here and work hard. But if they fail, where do you think they're going to end up? On the taxpayer dime. But according to Farhad Manjoo, open borders should still be on the table. He says, when you see the immigration system up close, you're confronted with its bottomless unfairness. The system assumes that people born outside our borders are less deserving of basic rights than those inside. Well, first of all, every single nation assumes that the people living inside its borders are entitled to particular rights because they have become part of the national bargain. Right? The bargain is that you gave up your ability not to pay taxes, and in return, the government is going to grant you certain rights. Right? They're going to secure your liberty. They're going to make sure that you are protected from foreign invasion and so forth. Right? American citizens have a right to be free from foreign invasion. Right? This is a basic right that you have as an American citizen, which is why we have an American military. Are citizens of Yemen protected by the American military? Should they be? I'm not sure why. I mean, if the idea is that they have the same rights and that our government was instituted to protect their rights too, our government wouldn't exist. It would collapse in on itself. But according to Manjoo, my native-born American friends did not seem to me to warrant any more dignity than my South African ones. Nobody's saying that. But you do actually have to institute a government capable of taking care of your rights. According to this nation's founding documents, we were all created equal. That's true, but our nation's founders never suggested that that equality was obviously going to be guaranteed by the American government all across the world. Then it wouldn't be the American government. In fact, if you read both the Federalist Papers and de Tocqueville, there's a pretty solid emphasis on nationalism. There's a pretty solid emphasis on the idea that you need to institute a government for the purpose of protecting the rights of the citizen to establish the government. If you and I establish an HOA, it doesn't apply to the guy down the street. It applies to the people in our HOA. Yet by mere accident of geography, some were given freedom and others were denied it. Well, that's true of life. I mean, what's amazing to me about so many folks on the left is they seem to constantly fight the reality that there are certain inequalities that are natural to life. You don't get to choose where you're born. You don't get to choose whether you're born smart or stupid. You don't get to choose whether you're born into a solid family situation or whether you are not. All of these things are manifestly unfair, but they're unfair on the God level. They're not unfair on the government level. We'll continue with this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about your sleep quality. So there's nobody on the planet built like you. Why would you buy a generic mattress built for anyone else? You know, I'm on the road. That means I'm sleeping a lot worse than I normally do. Why? Well, one reason, I don't have a Helix Sleep mattress. Helix Sleep has built a sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress. Whether you're a side sleeper or a hot sleeper, whether you like a plush or firm bed with Helix, there is no more guessing and no more confusion. Just go to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz. They will match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. For couples, Helix can even split the mattress down the middle, providing individual support needs and feel preferences for each side. They have a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Right now, Helix is offering up to $125 off all mattress orders. Again, get up to $125 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. That is helixsleep.com/Shapiro for $125 off your mattress order. helixsleep.com/Shapiro. My wife and I have the Helix Sleep mattress. We took that 2-minute sleep quiz. The mattress came in the mail. It is great. Okay, we sleep on it every night. It is supremely comfortable. You can get it, too, right now with $125 off when you use helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Again, they have that 10-year warranty and try it out for 100 nights risk-free. So what exactly are you waiting for? Okay, so the Democrats keep complaining that the right is miscasting them as open borders when, in fact, some of them are willing to spill the dirty little secret they kind of like open borders. Farhad Manjoo has this piece in the New York Times. He continues, when you start to think about it, a system of closed borders begins to feel very much like a system of feudal privilege, said Reese Jones, a professor of geography at the University of Hawaii, who argues that Democrats should take up the mantle of open borders. It's the same idea that there's some sort of hereditary rights to privilege based on where you were born. Again, it's not that you have additional rights because you were born in the United States. It's that we in the United States have a government capable of protecting our rights, whereas other governments do not. And those rights originally were the rights that you would have in a state of nature. See, this is the problem. Once you shift from a negative view of rights to a positive view of rights, once you shift from rights are things that you have by dint of birth, right? Not from the government, the right to free speech, the right to self-defense, the right to free practice of religion. Once you shift from that to you have the right to stuff, then you have to be pretty exclusive about who you let in. Open immigration into a system where you just have the right to free speech and the government protects that, and you have the right to live and work as you economically see fit and the government protects that, then you can pretty much have open immigration, no problem. But as soon as that shifts, then you are talking about rights that, like, the left thinks that there should be both a right to health care and open immigration. How is that going to work exactly? Farhad Manjoo concludes, I admit the politics here are perilous. Although America's borders were open for much of its history, if your ancestors came here voluntarily, there's a good chance it was thanks to open borders. Restrictions on immigration are now baked so deeply into our political culture that any talk of loosening them sparks anger. People worry that immigrants will bring crime, even though stats show immigrants are no more dangerous than natives. People worry they'll take jobs away from native workers, even though most studies suggest immigration is of profound benefit to the economy, and there's not all that much evidence it hurts native workers. And if we worry that they'll hoover up welfare benefits, we can impose residency requirements for them. Yeah, how are you going to keep track of that? I mean, honestly. Because here's the problem. Once you say that everyone can become a citizen, how long is it going to be before politicians begin to remove those residency requirements in order to obtain votes? You're already seeing this among Democrats. Stacey Abrams said she wants illegal immigrants to be able to vote in elections. You think it's going to last more than 5 seconds before Democrats begin to say, listen, we need to make sure that these new immigrants have the social safety net that everyone else has? That will take no time at all. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Plus, the Democrats go weirdly homophobic about Lindsey Graham. First, we need to talk about the fact that you're low energy. Listen, I'm low energy today. That means that you know what I'm going to do as soon as I have a chance? I'm going to be drinking a cup of Black Rifle coffee. In the midst of all the whining coming from the left about all the various issues in the world, you have to wonder, why would people act this way? Maybe it's because they didn't have their Black Rifle coffee. Black Rifle coffee is roast to order, guaranteeing you fresh, delicious coffee with every single order. Black Rifle coffee gives a portion of their sales to veteran and first responder causes. Black Rifle's Coffee Club makes things easy. You just pick your blend and the amount you want. Black Rifle ships your coffee direct to your door every month hassle-free. Nothing cures a bad attitude quite like starting your day with the most American coffee ever. That would be Black Rifle Coffee. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. Receive 15% off your order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Ben for 15% off. Again, blackriflecoffee.com/Ben. This is not one of those coffee companies that is going to be worried about your woke social justice warrior friend. This is a company founded by people who are deeply politically incorrect. I know them. And the coffee is fantastic. Go check them out. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Ben. Get 15% off. BlackRifleCoffee.com/Ben. Okay, coming up, we'll talk a little bit more about the open borders Democrats, and we'll talk about the Democrats' newfound interest in homophobia because it turns out that Democrats are fully willing to make homophobic, nasty jokes about Republicans as long as they feel that it forwards their cause. We'll talk about it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-735-8360. That's 800-735-8360. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-735-8360.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
This is the Savage Nation.
I am waiting for Da Vinci to appear. I haven't seen one yet. All I see are lies and propaganda about the fact that they're delivering so many goods to this country in terms of culture. So far as I can tell, they're not delivering much in the way of culture. Our borders are being destroyed, our language is being destroyed, and our culture is being destroyed. No, not all immigrants are equal. Pardon me.
The Savage Nation from the Westwood One Podcast Network.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we were talking about the Democrats' newfound love for open borders. Farhad Manjoo has this piece over at the New York Times. We're coming close to concluding it. He says that defensive arguments are losing. So that means that if you are defending the border, you are losing. The real argument should be that we should open all of the borders. This columnist for the New York Times says, the best plan is to make the affirmative case for a lot more immigrants. Economically and strategically, open borders isn't just a good plan. It's the only chance we've got. America is an aging nation with a stagnant population. We have ample land to house lots more people, but we are increasingly short of workers. And on the global stage, we face two colossi, India and China, which, with their billions, are projected to outstrip American economic hegemony within two decades. Well, no, not on a per capita basis, they're not. India and China, on a sheer numbers basis, are poised to become larger than the world's largest economy. But that was true of Japan in the 1980s, and then that completely fell apart. The demographics of China do not suggest that China is going to continue to grow the same way, because they actually have now a massive problem. Their one-child policy means that they have too many men and not enough women and not enough reproduction. So it's an actual problem for China. India still is home to an enormous amount of poverty. So if you believe that economic growth is going to come from India and China globally in the future, again, these are developing countries. These are not fully developed countries. It is true that America is an aging population with a stagnant population growth, but That's because we have a serious cultural problem in the United States that is not going to be solved by importing workers. Okay, Europe thought the same thing. They thought, we won't have to have babies. We'll just import workers from other places in the world, and then we won't have them assimilate to our culture, and it'll be fine. It was not fine. Narrator, it was not fine. How will we ever compete with such giants, says Farhad Manju? The same way we always have, by inviting the world's most enthusiastic and creative people, including the people willing to walk here, to risk disease and degradation and death to land here, to live out their best life under liberty. A new migrant caravan is forming in Honduras. The president is itching for a political fight. Here's hoping Democrats respond with creativity and verve, not just no wall, not just abolish ISIS. Instead, let them in. Well, I don't know who they are, number one. And number two, a lot of them are carrying Honduran flags. And number three, a lot of them are suggesting that they are here for the welfare benefits. And it's amazing for Democrats how incentives don't change the name of the game. Somehow, if you grant people free stuff, that won't change their incentive structure. It's pretty incredible. And meanwhile, yesterday was a banner day for weird Democratic homophobia. So Senator Lindsey Graham, there's long been a rumor that's been going around in Congress that Senator Graham is gay. That's not any giant secret. This has been kind of one of these scurrilous rumors that's been going around. Graham himself, I'm like, I don't really care whether he is. I don't think many people really do care whether he is, but he's never come out of the closet as gay or anything like that. He's not married. But in any case, the Democrats have decided that it is totally okay to now make fun of the idea that he might be gay because he is pro-Trump in many ways. So Ilhan Omar, who is one of the new fresh faces of the Democratic Party, which is to say that she's a radical anti-Semite who sits in Congress, but she's new and she's a fresh face because she's Muslim, right? This is the way that it works, is that if you check a diversity box, then this means that you are a new fresh face, no matter the awful, terrible things that you say. So Ilhan Omar appears on CNN yesterday, and she explains that the reason that Senator Lindsey Graham is backing President Trump's play on some of his foreign policy must inherently be because President Trump has the goods on Lindsey Graham. And it's pretty obvious from the context that what she actually means here is that President Trump is blackmailing Graham over supposedly his homosexuality, right? This is what people on the left have been saying for a while, is that President Trump has been blackmailing Graham with, like, lewd pictures or something. Is there a shred of evidence of this? No. There's certainly no more evidence of this than there is of the allegation that President Trump is being blackmailed by Vladimir Putin with pee tapes. Doesn't matter. Here's a sitting Democratic congresswoman airing this sort of nonsense on national television with a little bit of pushback, but not too much.
Over the last 3 years, we have seen many times where Senator Lindsey Graham has told us how dangerous this president could be if he was given the opportunity to be in the White House. And all of a sudden, he's made not only a 180 turnaround, but a 360 turnaround. He is somehow compromised to no longer stand up for the truth to make sure that he is fighting to protect the oath that he took in serving the American people.
So it must be that Trump is blackmailing Lindsey Graham. Now, it's amazing. This was parroted all around the internet last night. So Chris Evans, you know, Captain America, the only tweet that I've ever liked on Twitter, by the way, is the one in which he says that he really dislikes me. I tweeted back at him at the time, well, you were in the Fantastic Four, and that sucked, but I don't dislike you. I don't know anything about you. And anyway, Chris Evans tweeted, hey, Smithers, remember when you said this? To Lindsey Graham. Hey, Smithers, remember when you said this? You know how you make America great again. Tell Donald Trump to go to hell. What do they have on you? I can't tell if this shameful 180 is born of fear or thirst. Either way, we'll always remember you as nothing more than Remora. Chris Evans, well-known intellectual and guy who dons a costume in movies. So the Smithers reference is obviously a reference to the Smithers character in The Simpsons, who they sort of imply throughout the series is a closeted homosexual. But, you know, again, it's okay for the left to do this.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find
fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. President Donald Trump says it's a very sad day for journalism, but a great day for our country after the special counsel's office disputed the accuracy of a BuzzFeed news story about the president. Spokesman for Robert Mueller's office issued a statement Friday characterizing as not accurate a BuzzFeed story that said that President Trump had directed his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about a Trump real estate project in Moscow. President Trump says he'll make a major announcement from the White House on the government shutdown and the southern border Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. March for Life President Jeannie Mancini welcomed thousands of pro-life Americans to Washington for the 46th annual March for Life.
We march. Why? Because we're marching to end the human rights abuse of today, abortion. And no sacrifice is too great for that. That's why we march.
And Vice President Mike Pence urged demonstrators to make their voices heard through compassion and love.
Be prepared to defend life, but do so with gentleness and respect.
The March for Life commemorates the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion. President Trump will hold a second summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un.
After President Trump met with a senior North Korean official in the Oval Office, the White House announced plans for another summit near the end of February. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the president looks forward to meeting with Chairman Kim at a place to be announced at a later date. Last June, the two leaders met in Singapore, but since then, there's been little tangible progress in having North Korea dismantle its nuclear weapons program. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Federal officials confirmed that a prominent American-born anchorwoman on Iranian state television was jailed in the U.S. as a material witness and has not been charged with any crime. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Come on, kid. We're late.
Honey, the car won't start.
Mom, the dog just sat on my science project.
Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At GetEthos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply. And you can rest assured knowing you've taken steps to protect your family. And in most cases, with Ethos, you can have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to GetEthos.com. That's E-T-H-O-S. GetEthos.com. GetEthos.com.
Former U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's gotten a job with a private investment company after leaving the Trump administration.
North Carolina-based Artillery One says Zinke has been hired as managing director and will pursue investing opportunities in energy, financial technology, and cybersecurity. After spending almost 2 years leading an agency that oversees 500 million acres of public lands, Zinke announced his resignation from the Interior Department last month. He denied any wrongdoing amid investigations into his private business dealings, a decision to block a tribal casino, and other matters.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A collection of Zimbabwe human rights groups say that at least 12 people have been killed, at least 78 people have been shot, more than 240 have faced assault, torture, inhumane, and degrading treatment, and a crackdown on protests that began on Monday over a dramatic rise in fuel prices. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Carmaker Tesla has announced layoffs and says that the road ahead won't be easy.
The electric car and solar panel maker Tesla says it plans to cut its staff by about 7% in an email to employees. The company says the road ahead is very difficult. A memo up on Tesla's website says it hopes to post what it calls a tiny profit in the current quarter, adding that it boosted staff by 30% last year, but can't support that number of employees. Tesla's shares tumbled earlier this month after it cut vehicle prices by $2,000 and announced fourth quarter sales figures that fell short of Wall Street estimates. I'm Matt Small.
Glenn Wood, the courtly and innovative patriarch of the famed Wood Brothers racing team, who had been the oldest living member of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, died Friday. He was 93. Wood Brothers announcing the death of its team founder on social media, say that he died in Stuart, Virginia, after a long illness. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five-Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five-Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. We're going to be talking about the Democrats expanding the Overton window, the kind of range of acceptable discourse, moving more and more radically. We'll talk about government dependency, whether the government shutdown is good evidence that too many people are dependent on the federal government, and we'll talk about the sad state of comedy. But we begin with a story that is really devastating for President Trump, if it's true. Now, I say if it's true because it comes courtesy of our friends over at BuzzFeed. Now, BuzzFeed, you may recall, is the outlet that originally started putting out the Steele dossier. There was a rumor that the Steele dossier had been included in materials presented to President Trump, so BuzzFeed took that dossier and they just posted it online, essentially without comment. And there was a lot of controversy at the time over whether they should have posted the contents of the dossier. As it turns out, I think it may have been the right move for them to post the dossier because it turns out that a lot of the dossier turned out to be nonsense. If there had just been this rumored dossier going around, then presumably Democrats would have spent the last couple of years suggesting, well, this dossier is filled with really titillating, crazy stuff. And then we would all be wondering, what exactly is that stuff? By spilling the dossier in public, BuzzFeed allowed people to debunk it, not take it quite as seriously. They actually allowed a line of attack for the Trump administration and for Republicans. But was it good journalism itself? That's still a controversial proposition. And we have seen a bunch of news outlets get stories about President Trump and the Mueller investigation completely wrong in the past couple of years. For example, we saw CNN suggest that Donald Trump Jr. was distributing material from WikiLeaks or discussing it before it had been publicly released. That turned out not to be true. So we have seen stories like this in the past where there are allegations made, they turn out not to have any merit. But if the allegations made in this BuzzFeed story are true, it is a massive problem for President Trump. I mean, like, an impeachable problem for President Trump. Here's what the story says. It says, President Trump directed his attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about the Moscow Tower project. Now, if this were vague, right, if there were a situation where President Trump had said to Michael Cohen, you know, go ahead and tell Congress what you want, and then Cohen had gone and lied, then there wouldn't really be a problem for President Trump, legally speaking. We would be in the range of, was there intent to obstruct? Was there not intent to obstruct? If this BuzzFeed story by Jason Leopold and Anthony Cormier is true, then Mueller actually has written evidence that Trump told Michael Cohen to obstruct justice and lie to Congress. Here's what the story says. President Donald Trump directed his longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about negotiations to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, according to two federal law enforcement officials involved in an investigation of the matter. Trump also supported a plan set up by Cohen to visit Russia during the presidential campaign in order to personally meet President Vladimir Putin and jumpstart the tower negotiations. Make it happen, the sources said Trump told Cohen. So the first question we have to ask before we go any further is, what exactly would be the quid pro quo here? What exactly would Putin have gotten out of this? Right, we understand that if this were true, Trump would have gotten his Trump Tower out of it. Maybe he didn't expect to win. Nobody really expected him to win. And so he just wanted to get that Trump Tower project going, right? This would be the allegation. What would Putin get out of the deal? Well, I guess maybe Trump being nice to him publicly. Maybe Trump going over to Russia and treating him with kid gloves. That's not super clear from the story. I assume that we'll find out more information from BuzzFeed if they have any backing for this. BuzzFeed continues. Even as Trump told the public he had no business deals with Russia, the sources said Trump and his children Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr. received regular detailed updates about a real estate development from Cohen, whom they put in charge of the project. Well, again, there's a little bit of wiggle room in the sense that if there was no actual deal with the Russians, then you can claim that he wasn't full lying, but it ain't great. Cohen, by the way, it wouldn't have been a crime for him to say there's no deal with Russia while there was a deal with Russia. That's not a crime, and he couldn't be prosecuted or impeached for that. But if he told his personal lawyer to lie to Congress, that is basic textbook subornation of perjury. You can't suborn perjury. You can't tell somebody to lie to Congress. Bill Clinton was impeached over exactly these kind of charges. He told members of his inner staff that they should basically lie to the FBI. Nixon was about to be impeached on those charges when he resigned. Michael Cohen pled guilty in November to lying about the deal in testimony and in a two-page statement to the Senate and House Intelligence Committees. Special Counsel Robert Mueller noted that Cohen's false claim that the project ended in January 2016 was an attempt to minimize links between the Moscow project and Individual One. Individual One was Trump, in hopes of limiting the ongoing Russia investigations. Now, the two sources have told BuzzFeed News that Cohen also told the special counsel that after the election, and this is pretty key because now he's the president-elect, okay, so you could even make the case that if Trump did something before the election, it's not impeachable. If he was telling people to suborn perjury while he was president of the United States, you got a problem. The two sources have told BuzzFeed News that Cohen also told the special counsel that after the election, the president personally instructed him to lie by claiming that negotiations ended months earlier than they did in order to obscure Trump's involvement. Now, here's the problem. Again, I'm pointing out all the problems here so that we know all the caveats, we know all the holes in the story, and then we'll see what happens. Michael Cohen is a known liar. When I say he's a known liar, I mean he's a perjurer. He has pled guilty to perjury. He pled guilty to lying to the FBI and the DOJ. He pled guilty of lying to the Mueller investigation. So we got to take everything he says with a massive grain of salt, with a giant grain of salt. Because remember, the more he gave Robert Mueller, the better a deal he was going to cut with Robert Mueller. So if he told Mueller that Trump told him to lie to Congress, I mean, this is similar to the allegation that Trump told Cohen to lie to law enforcement authorities about his payoffs to Stormy Daniels, for example. If that's the allegation, then it comes down to who do you believe, Trump or Cohen? And that is not beyond a reasonable doubt enough for impeachment. You can't impeach someone over who do you believe, the convicted perjurer who worked for Trump or Trump who lies a lot. Now you have what's called the liar's paradox, where you have, you know, these famous liar's paradox logic problems, where you have two guys in front of you, one of whom always lies and one of whom always tells the truth. How do you tell one from the other? And this is the problem. Yep. Now, okay, so according to BuzzFeed, the special counsel's office learned about Trump's directive for Cohen to lie to Congress through interviews with multiple witnesses from the Trump Organization and internal company emails, text messages, and a cache of other documents. So that's going to be the question. What is the supporting data to back the allegations Michael Cohen has made? Is it interviews with some of the members of the upper echelon of the Trump Organization who have also cut deals with Robert Mueller? Is it just testimony? And then Trump can presumably claim that all these people were cutting deals specifically because they were cutting deals. In other words, they're not rats, they're liars. Right? A rat is somebody who's telling the truth in order to get a good deal from the government. A liar is somebody who lies to the government in order to get a good deal. If they've got any sort of internal company emails, text messages, and a cache of other documents, if Trump texted Cohen, "I want you to lie to Congress," dude's screwed, right? I mean, at that point, he's got a serious issue on his hands. He's pretty much toast. No president can text people telling them to lie to Congress. They can't do that. It's a violation of the law. But if they don't have that, if it's just a bunch of vaguely worded stuff about Trump saying, "How did your interview with Congress go? Russia, yeah," then they don't have anything. So we're going to have to see the underlying evidence. Cohen acknowledged those instructions during his interviews with the office. This revelation is not the first evidence to suggest that the president may have attempted to obstruct the FBI and special counsel investigations into Russia's interference in the 2016 election, according to BuzzFeed, but Cohen's testimony marks a significant new frontier and is the first known example of Trump explicitly telling a subordinate to lie directly about his own dealings with Russia. On the campaign trail, Trump vehemently denied having any business interests in Russia, but behind the scenes, he was pushing the Moscow project, which he hoped could bring his company profits in excess of $300 million. The two law enforcement sources said he had at least 10 face-to-face meetings with Cohen about the deal during the campaign. And then there's a recap of all the things that BuzzFeed News has said in the past, and sort of a recap of Michael Cohen's history with the Mueller investigation. According to BuzzFeed, several members of the Trump family have distanced themselves from the Moscow project, saying they had little knowledge of the negotiations, but a picture of their deep involvement is now emerging as FBI agents and prosecutors pore over witness interviews and internal documents from Cohen and other Trump Organization officials and executives. Trump was even made aware that Cohen was speaking to Russian government officials about the deal. The lawyer at one point spoke to a Kremlin aide as he sought support for the tower. Trump also encouraged Cohen to plan a trip to Russia during the campaign where the candidate could meet face-to-face with Putin. Again, none of this would be illegal. It's lying to Congress and telling people to do so that is illegal. BuzzFeed has previously reported that text messages and emails show that a real estate developer that Trump's people were working with worked furiously to arrange a trip for Cohen to the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, where he was supposed to meet with top Russian bankers and government officials. Cohen told this lawyer, this real estate developer, that to advance the deal, Trump himself would also go to Russia after the RNC in July 2016. The trip obviously never took place. The plans to build Trump Tower Moscow never came to fruition. But the negotiations occupy an important place in Mueller's investigation as agents try to learn whether it's connected to the Kremlin's interference campaign, et cetera, et cetera. Again, all of this is not a collusion claim. Right? That's still another dot that has to be connected. And the idea that Russia was attempting to swing the election on behalf of Trump, or rather in coordination with President Trump, that has yet to be proven. So two separate allegations now. Trump told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress, and the allegation the Democrats have been hanging their hat on, that Trump was coordinating with Vladimir Putin to somehow skew the results of the election. Still no evidence for number two. BuzzFeed says there's evidence for number one, but we haven't seen the evidence. All we've got is Michael Cohen's word for it, and that dude's a convicted perjurer. So we'll have to wait to see what emerges in all of this. Suffice it to say that if, in fact, Trump told Cohen to lie to Congress, that's going to be a serious problem for President Trump. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just one second. First, let's talk about your online security and privacy. As a public figure, I am constantly worried about being hacked or spied on. I don't want my emails compromised or my credit card number or online banking password stolen, but that does happen to hundreds of millions of people every year. So, how can you protect yourself? The company I trust to defend my online security and privacy is ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your connection by encrypting 100% of your network data and hiding your IP address. That means nobody can record or access your online activity. If you've ever had your credit card stolen via somebody who's been working on public Wi-Fi, it is a nightmare. You don't need to go through that with ExpressVPN. Download the ExpressVPN app on your computer or smartphone, and then you just use the internet like you normally would. You click one button in the ExpressVPN app, and voila, you are now protected. ExpressVPN is great for accessing content from anywhere, with VPN locations in 94 countries and blazing fast speeds. ExpressVPN is consistently rated the world's number one VPN service for internet users. And right now, you can get it for really, really cheap. The nice folks at ExpressVPN have extended special pricing of less than $7 per month to all my fans, so go visit expressvpn.com/ben to claim your discount. Again, that is expressvpn.com/ben to learn more. Okay, so BuzzFeed concludes its report by suggesting that Donald Trump Jr. may be in the crosshairs. Donald Trump Jr. testified to the Senate Judiciary Committee on September 7, 2017. He was only peripherally aware of the plan to build a tower in Moscow. He said, most of my knowledge has been gained since as it relates to hearing about it over the last few weeks. Two law enforcement sources disputed this characterization. They said that he and Michael Cohen had multiple detailed conversations on this subject during the campaign, which would put, presumably, Trump Jr. in perjury crosshairs if he testified before Congress falsely. Cohen will testify publicly before the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform on February 7th. Everyone, I'm sure, will be watching. But again, unless there's any supporting data, then it's hard to give a lot of credence to Michael Cohen, a convicted perjurer. And that will be the case that is made by Trump's legal team. In a second, I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani, who walked back some of his controversial remarks over the last couple of days. First, I need to mention to you, if you got a car, are you worried about it breaking down? You should be worried about it breaking down if you're not under the manufacturer's warranty, because if you have that car after the warranty expires and then it breaks down, you could end up basically losing the car. I mean, it could be that the cost of fixing the car is more than the actual worth of the car. CarShield makes sure that doesn't happen to you. That's why I have extended vehicle protection from CarShield. CarShield makes the process of fixing your car for a covered repair incredibly easy. You can have your favorite mechanic or dealership do the work. It is your choice. They also provide 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed for free. If your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, that doesn't mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out over $1 billion in claims, and they are ready to help you right now. Save yourself thousands in future car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle protection the same way I did. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention promo code Shapiro, or visit CarShield.com and use promo code Shapiro to save 10%. That's CarShield.com, promo code Shapiro, or call 800-CAR-6100, mention promo code Shapiro. A deductible may apply. 800-CAR-6100, mention promo code Shapiro. Okay, so in light of this new BuzzFeed report, we'll re-examine Rudy Giuliani's comments earlier this week, which he did, in fact, walk back yesterday. Plus, I want to get to the Democrats extending the Overton window, expanding it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
We try to make healthy choices, but do you ever choose the air you breathe? Now you can, with a complete indoor air quality package from Wave Home Solutions. Included is the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit with computerized sensor control and app to reduce moisture, mold, odors, and insect infestation from your basement or crawl space. It also expels harmful gases such as radon, carbon monoxide, and other pollutants. Addressing the worst air in your home will transform the entire house. Add the Wave 6-stage hospital-grade air purifier, the only one with HEPA filtration, 2 UV lamps, and other processes for a 99% kill rate of a broad range of pollutants and allergens. The Wave Indoor Air Quality Package will make your home a drier, cleaner, and healthier one all year round. It's time you choose the air you breathe. Choose Wave Home Solutions. Call 888-979-WAVE. That's 888-979-WAVE. Or visit dryhousenow.com. Dryhousenow.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Hey, welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Trump in BuzzFeed's crosshairs. BuzzFeed has a report today suggesting that two law enforcement sources have told them that they actually have supporting data, not just Michael Cohen's word, but supporting data, documents, texts, emails, a cache of documents suggesting that President Trump told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress. If so, that is basic subornation of perjury. It is, in fact, a federal crime, and the President of the United States is in serious trouble. But again, all we have for that is the word, the anonymous word of two law enforcement agents. We don't know who these people are. We don't know what they're saying. We don't know anything about them. All right, so all of that means that it's very difficult to trust the word of BuzzFeed. And we have Michael Cohen's word, which means absolutely nothing because Michael Cohen is, in fact, a convicted perjurer on his own, which is a problem. And so according to the Associated Press, in the aftermath of this, President Donald Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, on Thursday, walked back comments from Wednesday night in which he maintained that he had never said there was no collusion between the Russia and members of Trump's 2016 White House campaign. Now, as I suggested, when Rudy Giuliani made those comments on yesterday's podcast, what I suggested is that what Rudy meant by that was probably that there were members of the Trump campaign who were colluding with Russia outside the scope of agency, meaning that they were doing their own side deals with the Russians, meaning like Paul Manafort, perhaps. Or maybe Rudy Giuliani knew that the shoe was going to drop on this Michael Cohen report, and his suggestion is that Michael Cohen is freelancing, that Michael Cohen was trying to drum up business for President Trump, so he was meeting with the Russians on his own without Trump knowing anything about it, and Trump has nothing to do with it. That maybe that's where Giuliani was going with all of this. Well, now Giuliani has issued a statement aimed at clarifying Wednesday night CNN interview that appeared to leave open the possibility of improper contacts during the campaign in light of court filings in the past year that have detailed ties between Trump aides and Russia. Here is what Giuliani told the AP. He said, quote, "I represent only the president, not the campaign, and I can only speak of what I know, and that is that I have no knowledge that anyone on the campaign illegally colluded with Russia. But I can only speak definitively about the president as he is my client." And now, again, that's not a total walk back, right? He's not, again, saying that no one on the campaign colluded with Russia the same way that President Trump has said that, right? President Trump has said that in the past. Giuliani is now saying, listen, I'm only speaking for Trump. Can't say about these other guys. I'll say I don't know anything, but In a separate statement on Thursday, he said there was no collusion by President Trump in any way, shape, or form, and he had no knowledge of any collusion by any of the thousands of people who worked on the campaign. So that's going to be the other thing that is said, is that there are lots of people working on the campaign. So is Trump supposed to know all of them? That defense holds maybe for George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. It doesn't really hold particularly well for, like, Donald Trump Jr., if it was Donald Trump Jr. was doing anything, or Paul Manafort, his campaign manager. That was an apparent reversal from his television appearance for Giuliani, in which Giuliani said, quote, "I never said there was no collusion between the campaign or between people in the campaign." It's not clear whether Giuliani is reflecting a new position or a talking point from the Trump legal team, or was making a strategic attempt to get ahead of potentially damaging findings from special counsel Robert Mueller. Now, in the past, it is worth noting, Giuliani has worked to get ahead of the news. So when it came to Stormy Daniels, for example, he said that what Trump did was not a crime before Trump had even acknowledged that he slept with Stormy Daniels. And people are like, what is Rudy saying? And it turns out that Rudy was actually just laying the groundwork for the next stage of the defense. So I'm a little skeptical that Rudy just sort of let something spill out here. I think it's much more likely that Rudy believes that there's someone in the campaign who's going to get nailed for some sort of collusion with Russia, that there's someone in the campaign who is going to be either convicted, charged with, or accused of having done something nefarious with Russia. And he's trying to build a so-called Chinese screen around President Trump to protect him from any sort of Mueller-related issues. I think that's what Giuliani is doing here. If that's the case, things are going to get a lot uglier before they get any better. In November 2016, for example, Trump spokeswoman Hope Hicks said there was no communication between the campaign and any foreign entity during the campaign. As I say, again, I think Giuliani is going to claim that if people were communicating with the Russians, they were doing so on their own. On Wednesday, Giuliani told CNN that even if some people working on the campaign did something wrong, the president wasn't part of any collusion. He said there is not a single bit of evidence that the president of the United States committed the only crime he could commit here, conspired with the Russians to hack the DNC. Well, if in fact the BuzzFeed report from earlier is correct, if that BuzzFeed report that the president told Michael Cohen to lie to Congress is correct, he will be ensnared in exactly the same sort of issue that ensnared Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon's charging documents that were never filed because he resigned, those charging documents included obstruction of justice. If you actually look at the obstruction of justice charges against Richard Nixon, they explicitly included abuse of power and subornation of perjury. It is obstruction of justice, by the way, to generally tell people to lie on your behalf. Right, the articles of impeachment against President Nixon suggested that he basically told people to lie to the government. He said, this is what his charging paper said, the Richard Nixon impeachment papers. Richard Nixon, using the powers of his high office, engaged personally and through his close subordinates and agents in a course of conduct or plan designed to delay, impede, and obstruct the investigation of the Watergate break-in, to cover up, conceal, and protect those responsible, and to conceal the existence and scope of other unlawful covert activities. Now, the question that's going to distinguish Nixon from Trump, presumably, is, was Trump really attempting to conceal illegal activities, or is he just attempting to conceal activities he didn't want to be public? That's one distinction. But it's closer to Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton actually suborned perjury for non-criminal activity. So he was trying to get people to lie on his behalf about Monica Lewinsky. He told people to lie on his behalf, allegedly, about Monica Lewinsky. That was including in his charging document. So we could see a replay of that entire thing. And it'll be interesting to see Democrats try to launch an impeachment charge on the basis of obstruction of justice, the same charges that they basically acquitted Bill Clinton of, circa 1998-1999. Okay, in just a second, I want to talk about the Democratic Party and their move to open the Overton window, to become more and more radical, to bring more issues to the table that undercut traditional American principles. Their new intellectual leadership is moving very quickly in this direction, and it's an opening for President Trump. All President Trump has to do is just let them talk. That's it. Just let them talk. Don't get in their way. The more Democrats talk, the better it is for Republicans. The more
Laura Ingraham, Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Tom Gresham are only on KCNR 1460. KCNR 1460.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities, and with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Imagine floating on a cloud, relaxing so deeply your body aches dissipate, your stress levels decrease, and you feel a renewed sense of vitality. It's not a daydream, it's reality, and it's right here in Reading at Treasure of the Ancient Dragons. They have the only float therapy pod in Reading.
Experience the benefits of float therapy in Reading's only float therapy pod inside Treasure of the Ancient Dragons.
Treasure of the Ancient Dragons, behind Orchard Nutrition in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, call 605-0770.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. It would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit PVA.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, the Democrats already had impeachment on the minds. This BuzzFeed report isn't going to be their first step toward it. The new issue of The Atlantic features a striking call for President Trump's impeachment on its cover, according to The Hill. The cover story of the March issue was published online on Thursday, along with an image of the magazine, which reads, "Impeach," in large red letters. "It is time for Congress to judge the president's fitness to serve," the subheadline reads. Atlantic senior editor Yoni Applebaum pens the cover story, in which he argues that Congress can rein in a president who is undermining American ideals by starting the impeachment process, taking control of the fitness for office debate. Congressional Democrats have been trying to avoid this because what they don't want is blowback in favor of President Trump if they get out over their skis. This is why they're waiting for the Mueller report. They're hoping that there is something that allows them to hang their hat on before they go to impeachment. The Atlantic piece, however, says, why wait? Just do it now. Applebaum writes that Trump has repeatedly trampled on the Constitution with his policies, approaches to the investigations that surround his administration, and attacks on political opponents. He has done nothing impeachable so far. Okay, so far the president has not committed an impeachable offense. He has done nothing to extend the power of the executive branch beyond what President Obama did. He has not done anything that requires impeachment as a solution or removal from office. Just because you don't like his policies and you don't like him, his tweets are not grounds for impeachment. So what exactly would necessitate impeachment? Applebaum doesn't really say. He just says that it would be politically beneficial for the country if he were impeached. Okay, that's not enough grounds for impeachment. I think it would have been politically beneficial for the country if Barack Obama had never been president, but that doesn't mean you could have impeached him on that basis. It's pretty amazing. Okay, but that's not the only area in which Democrats are extending the so-called Overton window. The Overton window is a basic concept that suggests there's a range of acceptable discourse, and politicians will sometimes extend the Overton window, widen it, so that they can talk about issues that are broader and more radical than they were before. Bloomberg has a long piece today about how Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez has extended the Overton window. Say, Ocasio-Cortez, the mediagenic 29-year-old from the Bronx, New York, is the youngest woman ever elected to the House of Representatives. In an appearance on 60 Minutes with Anderson Cooper that aired January 6th, she was talking up the Green New Deal, a plan to move the U.S. to 100% renewable energy by 2035. Cooper challenged her by saying the program would require raising taxes. She said, there's an element, yeah, where people are going to have to start paying their fair share, and then asked for specifics. She said, well, you might have to tax people making $10 million at 60 or 70%, which obviously would not pay for this Green New Deal, which would cost legitimately trillions of dollars every year. But Bloomberg is celebrating that she is now expanding the Overton window and increasing the range of acceptable discourse, because now we're all debating whether 70% on the top tax bracket is a good idea, which we wouldn't have before. Now, it's amazing to watch as folks on the left praise Ocasio-Cortez for extending the Overton window when they rip President Trump for doing the same. So when President Trump says things that are out of the box, and then people are like, well, that's out of the box, we can't do that, then it's really bad, right? Then conventional wisdom has to hold. Anytime a Republican president violates conventional wisdom, that's deeply terrible. Every time a Democrat violates conventional wisdom, it's radically rethinking the policies that must require rethinking. And here's what Bloomberg says. For perspective, the top tax rate under the tax law that passed in December 2017 is 37%. And now, Suddenly, a number so extreme that no one in polite society dared utter it became a focal point of debate. Ocasio-Cortez's fans, she has 2.4 million followers on Twitter alone, loved it. Some pundits dug up economic research defending rates in the 70% range. Others pointed out that Ocasio-Cortez was actually lowballing the historical comparison. Top rates were 90% or higher as recently as the 1960s. Defenders of low tax rates heaped abuse on her, which backfired on them by inflaming her supporters. By the way, I do love that line, that if you say that she's a dummy, then that backfired because her supporters still support her. Weird how that logic doesn't work with President Trump with the media. So every time the media say something ridiculous about Trump and his supporters go crazy, then they're like, well, we didn't do anything. So what? There were supporters already. But when it's Ocasio-Cortez, the logic changes. What Ocasio-Cortez understands, says this columnist for Bloomberg Times, Peter Coy, and Katya Dmitrieva, what they say is that what Ocasio-Cortez understands is that getting an idea talked about, even unfavorably, is a necessary, if insufficient, step on the path to adoption. President Trump also gets this. It's the easiest thing to say, no, we can't change anything, says Eric Foner, a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian who recently retired from Columbia University. Most of the big ideas in American history started among radical groups who were told, no, you're never going to be able to achieve that. Foner sees parallels between the strategies of today's left-leaning Democrats and the radical Republicans who fought slavery before the Civil War, which was put out an agenda, be aware you can't just accomplish it all at once, obviously, but change the political discourse by pushing your agenda and then work with those who are willing to do some of it. And then Bloomberg says Ocasio-Cortez was actually less radical than she could have been on 60 Minutes. She passed up the opportunity to move the Overton window on another of her pet issues, budget deficits. She adheres to a doctrine called modern monetary theory that's catching on among young, left-leaning politicians and older policymakers alike. Its counterintuitive core idea is that deficits don't matter if you borrow in your own currency, just as long as they don't cause inflation. Okay, the modern monetary theory we've talked about on the program before, it's idiocy. I mean, the basic idea is that you can keep taking out money on the credit card so long as the credit card company doesn't call in the debt, which is true as far as it goes. You can keep blowing up the deficit so long as nobody calls in the bonds. The minute that people start selling your bonds on the open market, you're jacked, because then the government has to inflate the currency. If every government were capable of just blowing out the deficit, then Venezuela would not have a problem right now. Obviously, at a certain point, the creditworthiness of your nation, the creditworthiness of your government comes into serious question. Modern monetary theory, again, it's true to the extent that it's true, and it is false to the extent that it is false. But to create this sort of weird idea that you can just blow out spending no matter what and nobody will suffer is asinine. It's just insane. Even Paul Krugman, who is no economic whiz when it comes to debts and deficits, understands this. Right? Paul Krugman is good on trade issues. Everything else he stinks. But he's being praised right now. So she's being praised for radically changing the way that we think about all this. She's on the cover of Bloomberg this week with Read My Lips. Yes, new taxes, lots, big ones too, plus Medicare for all and free tuition. So, you know, she can talk about all this stuff. Is any of it going to materialize? The answer is probably no. But she's being praised for expanding the window of acceptable discourse. Democrats, of course, are cheering this because the Democratic Party has become incredibly radical. Now, you know, I'm at the March for Life today. Okay, and at the March for Life, I can tell you that the Democratic Party, I've gotten a lot of flack in the media for being at the March for Life, because how could the March for Life be partisan enough to allow somebody like me at the March for Life? Never mind that I'm talking explicitly and only about abortion at the March for Life today. Never mind any of that. The fact is that I am making the debate partisan. Now, as I pointed out on Shannon Bream's show on Fox News last night, I'm not the one who made abortion a partisan debate. The Democrats have run out of town on a rail any member of their caucus who happens to be pro-life. There's, I think, one Democratic congressperson, one, who is willing to speak at the March for Life. One. We're having him on next week, Representative Lipinski, and he was primaried last time around. So it's pretty incredible to watch as the Democratic Party and the media accuse the Republicans of going radically off the rails on policy. The Republicans passed a basic Republican agenda, the same as it's been for 30, 40 years, in the Trump administration, and yet they're called radical. The Democrats are embracing full-scale free everything, never paid for by anything except massive tax cuts on the rich, and then we're supposed to believe that nothing has changed. They want it both ways. Yes, we're proposing radical new ideas, but no, we're not radical. Howard Dean, who you'll recall back in 2004 was the nut job they thought was going to get the nomination, former governor of Vermont, former head of the DNC, right, he says it's time for young people to take over the Democratic Party.
The people that I are most interested in are the young ones. I think it's time that young people took over the party. They pretty much did in the last election. We gained a third of our legislative seat losses back in 2018. And a lot of it was done by things people like Run for Something and Collective PAC, Color of Change, Indivisible, Voto Latino. These are all outside groups made up of young people that are incredibly good on social media. And I need to see more of that happening. So I'm interested in a younger, newer candidate.
The dirty little secret about Howard Dean, members of the Democratic Party, the same members of the Democratic Party who keep saying we need a youth movement are not actually allowing one. Nancy Pelosi is 1,000 years old, and she's in charge of the House. Senator Schumer, 1,000 years old, in charge of the Senate. The entire Democratic upper echelon leadership structure is a bunch of old people. So they like to pay lip service to AOC because she gets the base jazzed up. In reality, they're still in control. So they're not bringing to the vote anytime soon a 70% tax rate on the people making above $10 million. It's not something that's going to happen. Democrats are not going to risk that. But they'll pay lip service to these radical ideas. The problem is that over time, those radical ideas do, in fact, become mainstreamed into the Democratic Party. I'm going to give you the ugliest example of that in just one second. First, we need to talk about college campuses. So last night I spoke at George Washington University. It was great. But I will say that George Washington University, like a lot of other universities around the country, leans very much to the left. And when you go to a lot of these universities, there's resistance to me speaking. When I spoke at GW, there were posters that went up suggesting I should need security. I'll tell you a college where this is not going to be a problem. Hillsdale College. Hillsdale College is just fantastic. It's fantastic because they actually care about teaching about Western civilization, eternal principles. Forget the multiculturalist nonsense that suggests all cultures are equal or equivalent. Never mind all of the microaggression, trigger warnings, culture being inculcated on campus. Hillsdale didn't do any of that. The college was founded to teach students to seek truth, recognize what is beautiful, and hold up what is good. Most colleges have lost their way, but Hillsdale has not. They have continued to provide sound learning essential to preserving civil and religious liberty. Whether a student majors in business or econ or education or science, they all take courses in the Constitution as well. I love Hillsdale because they've stayed true to that mission. I know a lot of Hillsdale students. Some of the big fans of the show I know are Hillsdale students, and I know a lot of people applying. You should be associated with Hillsdale. They have lots of great stuff. They have their free speech digest in Primus. They've got free online courses. They're establishing classical K-12 charter schools nationwide. Go check them out right now. BenForHillsdale.com. Again, that's BenForHillsdale.com to find out more. Pursuing truth, defending liberty since 1844, Hillsdale College. The problem with the radicalism inside the Democratic Party is that the radicalism doesn't just extend on economics. It extends on all things, including expanding the Overton window of acceptable discourse on, for example, anti-Semitism. So Ilhan Omar, who again is one of the fresh faces of the new Democratic Party, she's not just going around implying that Lindsey Graham is gay and being blackmailed by President Trump. She goes on CNN, and she's asked specifically about a tweet that she sent a few years back in which she suggested that Israel was deceiving the world, and she prayed to Allah that the world be awakened from this. She's also pro-boycott, divestment, and sanctions from Israel. She's an anti-Semite. She was on CNN. She was asked about her anti-Semitism. She said, "I don't understand why Jews should care about me being anti-Semitic.
I don't know how my comments would be offensive to Jewish Americans. My comments precisely are addressing what was happening during the Gaza war. And I am clearly speaking about the way that the Israeli regime was conducting itself in that war."
Well, I mean, she was referring to Israel as having deceived the world, which is a giant conspiracy theory, giant anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. She believes that Israel should be boycotted. Again, this BDS is a form of anti-Semitism. Holding Israel up to a scrutiny that no other nation has ever been held up to is a form of anti-Semitism. Associating with people who support terrorists is anti-Semitism, as Rashida Tlaib has. All of that has been basically overlooked by members of the Democratic caucus. In fact, Ilhan Omar, the lady who tweeted that, is now in the House. She's now in the House Foreign Relations Committee. They appointed her to the House Foreign Relations Committee. So, while it is true that the Democratic Party is still run by the higher ups, who are still attempting to pretend to be reasonable, at least for the moment, the reality is that over time, what was fringe becomes mainstream inside the Democratic Party. This is true with Bernie Sanders' ideology. It's true for AOC. It's true for Ilhan Omar. Is the expansion of the Overton window good? No. We actually need more parties that are discussing plausible policy solutions to our problems. We don't need both parties pandering to the most radical parts of their base. Right now, the Republican Party is really not. Right now, the Republican Party is a party of tax cuts and foreign policy strength. The policy hasn't really moved very much. In the Democratic Party, this is simply not true. In the Democratic Party, it's not true in any way. They've moved radically to the left incredibly quickly. This is not just me saying this. Real Clear Politics, I remember, had a graphic that showed kind of where the positions were in the various parties. The last time the Republicans made a positional move was 2010. In fact, I think you could probably say that President Trump is more moderate on a lot of conservative policies than the Tea Party was in 2010. Certainly that's true on spending policy. In a second, I want to get to the problem of government dependency and why people are taking the government shutdown with so much seriousness. But first, let's talk about your bathroom habits. I love that Dollar Shave Club has everything I need to look, feel, and smell my best. What I love even more is the fact I never have to go to a store. That's because, number one, DSC delivers everything I need directly to my door. And number two, they keep me fully stocked on what I use, so I don't run out. Here's how it works. Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to get ready, no matter what you're getting ready for. They have you covered head to toe for your hair, your skin, your face, you name it, they've got it. And they have this new program where they automatically keep you stocked up on the products you use. You determine what you want, when you want it. It shows up directly at your door from once a month to once every 6 months. That's what I do for my Amber Lavender Body Cleanse. I mean, that stuff is just delightful. Plus, they've got this great toothpaste that is minty fresh. And their handsome discount means that the more you buy, the more you save. Right now, they've got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular price. So, what are you waiting for? Get your starter set right now for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. Again, when you do that, you get the starter set for just $5. dollarshaveclub.com/Ben. Coming up, we're going to talk about the media's focus on the government shutdown. Interesting article in the New York Times in which they suggest the real reason that they care about the government shutdown has very little to do with the suffering of the people who are not employed right now or who are being furloughed. Their real problem is that their giant economic theory is the more we spend on government, the better off we are. I'll explain. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-1174. That's 1-800-379-1174.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-519-7796. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-519-7796.
Thank you. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're going to talk about the government shutdown in just 1 second. First, I have to point out the media are beginning to turn on Beto O'Rourke. They're beginning to go after Beto O'Rourke. And it's fascinating to watch because until 5 minutes ago, Beto O'Rourke was the hot, flash, new guy. He was going to be the guy who took the Obama mantle and ran with it. And the media are turning on him. Why are they turning on him now? Why have they suddenly discovered that Beto O'Rourke is an empty vessel, that he's Poochie from The Simpsons? Why have they suddenly discovered this? The reason they've discovered this, I have two words for you. White man. That's why Beto O'Rourke's in trouble. Okay, the Washington Post has a piece today. It is called Preseason is Over for Beto O'Rourke. Now, listen, Beto O'Rourke makes a lot of dumb mistakes, right? Beto O'Rourke put out a Medium post that we mocked yesterday in which he talked about looking out my window, traveling down the road of life. And he did that the other day. And then he went and he, like, live-streamed his dental appointments. And so he's been mocked for being empty and dumb and not having a lot there. But all of that was true in the Senate race, too, and everybody was making a big deal out of him in the media. So what changed? The only thing that changed is now he's running for president against Kamala Harris, who I think you would have to say is going to become the media darling pretty quickly because she is another two-word phrase, black woman, and she fulfills more intersectional checkboxes than Beto O'Rourke does. So now the media have begun to turn on Beto O'Rourke, which is very sad. He's going to go home, he's going to play some minor chords and maybe sing some blues a little bit, you know, like really get into the mood. Okay, the Washington Post reports, Beto O'Rourke, welcome to the National Football League. As a potential top-tier presidential candidate, O'Rourke has arrived at a much tougher level of competition, and he had better raise his game quickly. To continue the metaphor, he is like a number one draft pick, and everyone is looking to see whether he's worth it. The nation's best and toughest reporters have his number and want nothing more than to take his measure and knock him down. Now that he is under a whole new burden of proof, he's going to have more thoughtful positions on national issues than the ones O'Rourke gave the Washington Post's Jenna Johnson, published in an article on Tuesday. And they talk about the fact that Beto O'Rourke gave a bunch of nonsensical answers to basic questions like, what's your immigration position? And he'd say stuff like, the people will tell me. Whoa. So Carter Askew, writing in the Washington Post, says, what the heck is that babble? Surely a congressman, especially one from a Texas border region, has more to say on immigration than that drivel and to call for more debate. We've been having a debate for more than 20 years. What people are looking for now, especially from someone bearing such high expectations of leadership, are thoughtful, fearless ideas to resolve the debate. Now, notice, Kamala Harris has provided no such thoughtful, fearless ideas, but she's not getting treated in the same way by the media. Why? Well, because they think the ching, the ching, the ching.